Blog Talk Radio.
Take my love, take my land, take me where I cannot stand. I don't care, I'm still free. You can't take the sky from me. Take me out to the black. Tell them I ain't coming back. Burn the land and boil the sea. You can't take the sky from me. There's no place I can be since I found serenity. You can't take the sky from me.
Seconds to address what was just said.
First of all, earned path to citizenship is basically code for amnesty. It's what they call it. And the reality of it is this. This has to do with the bottom line that America cannot be the only country in the world that does not enforce its immigration laws. It is unfair to the people that have legally entered this country to create an alternative pathway for individuals who entered illegally and knowingly did so. And all I'm saying is that if you do that, if I may finish my statement on this, if you do that, you will never have a legal immigration system that works. No one's going
to
follow the law. There's an easier way to do it.
I know you need to, but I think it's very, very important. I think
that was then-candidate Marco Rubio, alleged Tea Party darling, who just recently said, let's be clear, nobody's talking about preventing the legalization. The legalization is going to happen. That means the following will happen. First comes the legalization, then come the measures to secure the border. I feel like I'm snowed in, even though it's the middle of summer, but I still have more mobility than Edward Snowden playing a global game of cat and mouse with our own government and being assisted by the rest of the world, who's pretty pissed off with our government. I'm pretty pissed off, too, as the rhinos in the Senate just developed a serious case of amnesthesia, repeating the 1986 debacle all over again. Not to mention Senator Jihad Jane McMahon and the neocon wars. As we gear up to celebrate Independence Day this week, we have to ask ourselves, are we truly free? You're live with Tex and Rex, irreverent, relevant, and radioactive conservatism with a bite. I'm your host, Rex, broadcasting to you from the Imperial City.
And this is Tex, broadcasting from Tejas, very close to the border. Yes, many things have been going on, percolating down there, these second terms. No, they're never what you think they're going to be. It's like, oh, I got a second term that's validation that proves how awesome I am and how great my administration is going to be. But no, actually, it doesn't. And you end up with nothing but scandals and animals. Usually. And so now we've got scandals. Scandals are coming a cropper. So welcome to your second term, Mr. Obama, where you will do nothing but defend your first term. It's kind of a recurring trend. But with so many scandals to choose from, where do we start, Rex?
I don't know. These scandals seem to start with this guy's first term. In fact, they probably started before he got inaugurated. He's just riding a wave of scandals. It just seems to be that they're dumping them on us faster and faster. And here's the crazy thing, Tex. I think that it's just crazy that they're dumping them at such a rapid pace, and they're doing such crazy stuff that you know, 1 week into the next, you're focused on the current scandal, you're kind of forgetting about the others. And I think we need to revitalize some of these things. I mean, you know, we got to keep in mind the IRS scandal. We've got the, Benghazi hasn't gone away, and that ties right into Syria. But today's focus, because of what the senatorial shenanigans this week went on. As the title says, Snowden, so we got to address Snowden since we're playing Where's Waldo with that guy, and then amnestia, because the Senate just passed a redux of the 1986 amnesty bill that worked out so well the first time, we had to do it again. And, of course, as always, we've got McWar, because if you want to build a police state at home, you got to start with the wars abroad.
Well, let me tell you what I've been hot about lately, all right? So this has been something that's bothering me. So Snowden comes out, he releases his information, and then we have all these people, oddly enough, or maybe not so oddly, but oddly enough, mostly on the right, saying, you know, oh, this is the worst breach of intelligence ever in the history of the beginning of intelligence, since intelligence was developed by apes coming out of the trees, this is the worst thing ever, you know? Well, and they're like, oh, he's given up all these sources and methods, and now he's handed over to the terrorists what we're doing. You know, it's upsetting, because I don't think the terrorists ever thought that their conversations were not being recorded or their emails weren't being tracked or any of that. I mean, what this guy released was the fact that they're tracking you, your emails, your communication, everything. The Fourth Amendment is gone. That's what he released. Like, you know, Americans, wake up. It's over. You know, you're done. Everything you're doing is being tracked, right? That's what he released. The terrorists are like, oh, yes, this is awesome, because now they're tracking everyone. If anything, they're probably kind of happy about this program. It's like, oh, shit, they have so much information. I'm probably being drowned out in a sea of data that they can't possibly ever sail. You know, I mean, who's going to be captain of that sea of data? You know, I don't know, get Captain Ahab on that thing, you know, try to figure out where people are. You know, so if anything, he's releasing it to the American people, and they're like, oh, yeah, well, now he's running the Traitor Express from China to Russia to wherever the hell he's going, Venezuela, you know. I mean, where else are you going to go? This is what Edward Gibbon said about the Roman Empire. In the latter days of the Roman Empire, if you displeased the emperor, there was no place to run. All real estate in the known world was occupied by Rome. There was no other place to go. And that's the, you know, that's the problem this guy's encountering. And you know what? It's a microcosm, if you will, of his problem for your problem when they fucking come after you with all this fucking shit that you've been, people you've been calling, texting, whatever, and they come after and say, oh, this person's a terrible whatever because I've selectively edited all his texts and emails over the past years. And you're like, oh, shit, you know. So I don't think he's that bad a guy. Let me tell you, there's a big difference between him and Bradley Manning, okay? So I think Bradley Manning actually is if you want to talk about, you know, who was bigger than a bread box, which one was the biggest, breach of intelligence information, it would be Bradley Manning. You know why? He copied all the cable traffic, and he released it. It's not like Bradley Manning was like, oh, my God, you'll never believe it. They have this system where, like, the embassies can talk to each other electronically. It's called cables. It's Western Union, dude. It's like 19th century technology, and they're using this to communicate between the embassies. I think everybody knew that, right? What he released was all the information, all the data. So the difference is with Snowden, he released the fact that they're doing this, but he didn't release all of your emails and everything that you'd ever said, you know, and that's the difference. He didn't expose every single American in the way that Bradley Manning exposed, you know, everything that the government was doing. So I think Bradley Manning actually, I mean, people literally died because of what Bradley Manning did, okay?
Well, we don't know that
what
yet.
What Snowden did.
Trial still going on.
You know, they probably don't announce that, but let me tell you, all right, having someone who's read cable traffic a little bit, you can figure out who the hell people are and who's talking to who, and, yeah, you just go ice them. So people got killed over that, okay? Whereas with Snowden, he's releasing this to the American people to say, look, they're not just tracking terrorists, which is what you think and why you support this, they're tracking you. And one day the system will be turned against you if it hasn't already. So, you know, I'm not buying the whole, you know, oh, this is the worst breach ever, Snowden's a traitor, that kind of thing. If anything, you know, why do I want to use a word to define someone, you know? All I'm saying is he provided a public service to the American people to know what their government was doing. And the response that we get mostly, oddly enough, from the right, from your Karl Rove and your Dick Cheney's, if you will, I don't actually hear this coming too much from the left, not that I'm not highly critical of the left, and would never, I would never vote for anyone in the Democrat Party, period, ever, whatever. But I find it interesting that people who are supposedly on my team are defending this program to the hilt. What they're saying is, oh, this is the greatest breach in forever. He's a traitor. What he's done is unforgivable. And I'm just not seeing it, man. I just don't, because I don't understand what he released that the terrorists didn't know already.
Well, he's like the worst spy ever.
Give us the information. Yeah.
He's like the worst spy ever. He didn't sell this to anybody. He just blurted it out to everybody. You know, he's not a very good spy. But I did hear Senator Jihad Jane McMahon talking about how the terrorists have already changed their tactics because of the information that he's released. And apparently, from what I understand, Al-Qaeda switched from Verizon to Sprint because of what Snowden said.
Oh, yeah. So Sprint's not working with them. Yeah. I mean, if that's what they believe. I mean, see, that's the other thing about the story that's kind of interesting is that they were like, oh, and Verizon, they were tapping Verizon, they were tapping Verizon, they were tapping Verizon. I mean, what was, like, everybody, they're tapping everyone and everything. They're not working with fucking AT&T. I mean, how dumb do you assume that I am?
Yeah.
If they've got Verizon, which is the biggest, believe me, AT&T and Sprint folded like a cheap suit a long time ago. You know, Verizon would have been the tough nut to crack. The rest of the dudes are like, I don't know. Here, whatever. Can we make a nickel on it? You know, because we're losing our shirts to Verizon.
Yeah,
so
I hear it's a googly coffee is holding out.
Yeah.
All right. Text,
well, Google, I've been on
we
about Google forever. Google knows way too much. Google knows everything. They're creepy.
Yeah.
You know, Google's creepy. And people are like, oh, why are you worried? Because I'm not specifically worried. I'm unspecifically worried about the fact that they know everything. You know, wouldn't anybody be worried? I mean, it's like the spy is like, imagine writing a letter to your loved one in the 1800s and you have somebody sitting there suggesting words to you as to what you might write. You know what I'm saying? That's Google. And
in the meantime,
I'd just like to make a Xerox of this before I mail it off for you. You know?
In the meantime, they got their hand in your pants. All right, before we roll into all this good stuff, let's do some quick housekeeping. If you're listening live right now, below the show graphic there is a follow button. If you click follow on that button, you will get updates in your Blog Talk Radio profile and affiliated email as to when we're broadcasting. Generally, we broadcast 10 p.m. Eastern on Sundays. Sometimes we do specials, especially leading up to conventions and RNC meetings and such. Also, below the show graphics, there is a link that says download episode. Whether if you're live, you don't want to do that. But if you're listening in archives, just go ahead and right-click on that. You can download an MP3, play it in your MP3 device, burn a CD, email, get it out to people. The important thing is we're giving you, what's going on from an authentic conservative perspective, not a Republican perspective or some kind of lunatic fringe, but an authentic conservative perspective, trying to tie it in together and get you valuable information. You've got to share it. You've got to get it out there. We got no marketing money. We pay to do the show. No one pays us to do it. And unless you're getting word out there, nobody knows that we're doing this, so it's up to you. If you're on Facebook, go to the Tex and Rex Show. That's our Facebook page. Like the page, and you will get notifications of when we're broadcasting and such. And if you're inclined, join Tex and Rex's Liberty Militia, where we post clips, links, articles, and such that we talk about on the show, and often action items like the big action item for this week, and we've got the links there. Find your House representative. The critter is probably back in your neighborhood for the Independence Day celebrations, and then he'll be coming back to the Imperial City, where John Crying Tan, useless piece of beef jerky, orange man Boehner is going to fake out his own caucus and bring the friggin' Senate amnesty bill to the floor, and you had better hammer the crap out of all of your up for re-election in 2014 congressional critters and tell them you don't want any friggin' amnesty. If you want to find their numbers, just go to the Tex and Rex Show page or Tex and Rex's Liberty Militia, and you can find the link there to punch in your zip code, and you'll get your congressional critter's information, and you can hammer the crap out of them. So that's the housekeeping. And we are joined, Tex, by our favorite show guest. You know him as? Chris,
yeah.
You're live with
Gentlemen.
At Rex.
How you doing?
Hey, Chris, how's it going?
Good, man. Good to hear you back. I thought they had like confiscated you and put you in a FEMA center or something there.
Yeah, well, you know, things get complicated sometimes. You go in and out, right? But you know, when you're out of the interrogation room, it's pretty good, you know.
Well, speaking of interrogation,
go ahead.
Oh, go ahead. Go ahead, Chris. No, go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say that was a really great opening line, Tex. That was, you covered some good stuff there. Very important. So.
Well, I mean, this Snowden thing, I think, is being blown. I don't think it's being blown entirely out of proportion. What I think has happened is the American people are, they generally have one of two reactions. And this is kind of interesting because most of the males that I've spoken to are like, this is total bullshit, you know, like, what the fuck, right? And then most of the women that I speak to are like, oh, yeah, but everybody's known that forever, right? Of course, every time you type something into Google, they're tracking it, you know? And it's kind of strange the way, and seriously, this is breaking down for me along gender lines, right? How they're just kind of resigned to the fact that, oh, this is okay. Well, you know, and I don't know, maybe it's the protect society thing. You know, I don't know what's going on, but I'm like, why would that be okay? It's not legal. And this is the other thing that bothers me about the whole thing is Karl Rove went out there, that pile of shit. Karl Rove went out there and he was like, oh, yeah, but this is, like, totally legal because the executive, the legislative, and the judicial branch agreed to it. But it's not
bull
constitutional,
crap.
Right? It's not constitutional. Maybe you assholes, you know, found a bunch of fools and you got together like, hey, is this totally cool? Oh, yeah, I'm rubber stamping this. So, yeah, we can totally do this. It's not constitutional at all. You can't do this. No.
Well, you know,
like,
where
oh,
this
it's
started.
Only metadata. It's not data. It's metadata.
Oh, yeah.
And then they're
bull
saying,
crap.
Oh, yeah, well, we have the subject of your email. Right? So we can read the subject line, and then if we're interested, then we can go read it. Well, then you haven't saved the metadata, you asshole. You have the whole thing.
Yep.
Which means,
bullshit.
Oh, if I'm interested, I'll go look. And they're like, oh, okay, yeah, but, you know, but they don't go look because they don't have time. Oh, yeah, except, you know, look, when I was over there, the State Department, when they're training people on people's passports, I know someone who had access to that system. They're looking up famous people's passports. Oh, where's Jay-Z gone? Where's Michael Jordan gone? Where's, you know, Beyonce? Where's she traveling? You know why? Because, like, 4 o'clock on a Friday afternoon, I'm bored as shit, and I have access to everybody's passport information, so I'm just going to go check it out, right? And there's no repercussion. I'm serious.
Yeah.
It's not even a joke. That is real, you know? And it's
yeah.
like, oh, yeah, but they only have access to the title. They're not going to open it up unless they've done anything or unless they know you and they're stalking you because
you're conservative or you're Tea Party or you're a Christian.
Yeah,
or
no,
you're
I mean,
political, you're a political opponent.
Or
uh-huh.
they just don't like you, or they're bored, or they don't even care. I mean, there doesn't have to be a reason. I mean, that's the important
sometimes
thing.
Sometimes it's just a random. Sometimes it's just random to make an example out of you.
Oops, did I
so
click
the,
on
so that? The other
oh,
people
well,
click.
I guess I just found out everything I ever wanted to know about this person.
Well, here's the
you
interesting
know,
thing,
guys.
It's
a slip of the keyboard. And guess what? There's no oversight, so I don't have to explain it to anybody, do I? Nobody even knows I did it. It's when I work for the government, right, are they tracking who's opening what? Like, oh, it's, you know, such and such PM. This dude opened that person's email. No, they don't know. The government doesn't track shit about what it does. That's the critical function of government is that you're being monitored, what you're doing, what the government's doing. Ah, we don't have records of that. So many people, so many emails. Who could possibly keep track of it? Well, apparently you're keeping track of everything except what you're doing.
Well, they didn't keep track
design.
Of what Snowden
That's
was
what
doing.
I'm saying. It's by design.
Yeah, really.
Snowden downloaded the whole thing onto a little finger drive or thumb drive and took it to Hong Kong with
Walked
him. And nobody
away.
Knew until he showed up and spoke to the Guardian. But the crazy thing about
I just wanted to go back to the psychology of it when Tex was talking about that. I think it's very important to understand is that the TSA numbed people. They found out they could grope your daughter and your wife and your grandma and get away with it. Once they did that, then you have this numbing down effect of the American people going, well, if I ain't doing anything wrong, who cares? Well, then you need to, like, read the Constitution and redefine what America is supposed to be. That's the problem, is the American people are numb to this crap.
Well, I mean, that's the problem.
Yes, but ask yourself when you're going to the airport, right? You're going to the airport, you're barefoot, you got no belt on, Your hands are above your head, and you're being felt up by some minimum wage douchebag who's over, you know, with some kind of privatized.
Criminals.
Yeah, I mean, you don't even know who it is, and they're feeling you up. So ask yourself, is that the position of a free person? To be barefoot,
no.
Without your belt, your pockets emptied, your hands over your head while someone gropes your balls or your boobs? I mean, it hasn't stopped one.
That's why doctors tell you to take your shirt off, because shirt beats no shirt every time. Like, hey, yeah, well, I think you have this, and you know what? I have a shirt on. You don't, so shut the fuck up and take these pills and get the hell out of here. Now, also, you owe me, you know, $700 for this visit, Mr. No Shirt. You know,
yeah.
I mean, that's the whole thing. Oh, I have no clothes on. Now I'm going through this thing. It's like, oh, now it's time for me to speak up, you know? No.
Well, that's why they throw prisoners immediately in interrogation. You know, you
mm-hmm.
take away that human zone, you know, that protection, that last vestige of security, clothes.
Yep.
Yeah.
And
we've given
you know,
that
pretty
up.
Pretty soon they're going to tell you got to be in an orange jumpsuit before you can get on an airplane or a bus or a train. Listen, the Snowden thing is interesting because the whole friggin' world is pissed off because we're spying on them. Now, here's the deal. I don't care if our government spies on foreigners and foreign governments. I mean, that's kind of an important thing to do.
I would expect that.
The problem is we've got agreements with some of these allies that we won't spy on them and they won't spy on us, yet we're spying on them. Well, when it goes public, that's not a good PR move. Nevertheless,
no.
I don't really have a problem with them spying on foreigners. I have a problem with them spying on Americans. Let's be clear. I mean, you know, everybody has human rights wherever they are and or should have. You know, you have human rights. Whether you can exercise them or not is a different story.
Right.
And most people are afforded civil rights in our country. However, certain special constitutional provisions, those are reserved for citizens and people who live overseas who might be trying to do us harm or even allies who might be iffy. You're going to spy on them, fine. But you cannot spy on the American people because the Constitution forbids it. And therefore, it's illegal no matter how many friggin' laws they pass. So now they're trying to hunt Snowden down. They can't find him. The question I have is if the NSA has all this data and they have all these satellites and they have all this tracking ability to find every American and follow their Google chat and email and Facebook and all this kind of stuff, how did the Tsarnaev brothers blow up Boston when they had Twitter accounts and Facebooks and all this stuff, and why can't they find Snowden? It seems to me that maybe this isn't working for, quote, security.
Right.
So either they're
incompetent
at spending way too much friggin' money on something that they can't run and doesn't work, or it has a different purpose.
Bingo.
It isn't about our security.
That was the first thing, you know, piece of shit, Karl Rove, asshole, faux conservative said about this program. It's like, oh, well, you know, if we had access to this, this would allow us to, you know, protect against things like the Boston, you know, bomber or whatever. Except it totally fucking didn't, right? I mean, that happened while you had this freaking system. You had this system for how long? And the Russians told you about it, and they were a person of interest, and 9 million other things. You had every freaking email they ever sent and everything they ever did on the Internet, right? But, oh, we're completely freaking clueless. Who were you looking at? People over there checking out Jay-Z's passport. Hey, it's kind of cool. This dude's famous. Check him out. Look, he just went to Costa Rica or whatever the hell he just did, you know. You had this system, and it didn't help you at all. And then when you're discovered with your hands in not the cookie jar, but every freaking cookie jar, like we're all over it, you know. Every cookie, it's been eaten down to crumbs, and now we're watching the roaches eat what's left of the crumbs. You've got your hands in all this crap, and you still can't protect against that. You don't know anything. You know, it's not that it's just totalitarian. It's totalitarian, and it sucks. You know, like, oh, my God. I don't know. This is just the biggest piece of crap I've ever seen. And people are tolerating this. Like, well, you know, I guess, I don't know, I'm just going to go back and work at Taco Bell and just, you know, I don't know, just make tacos in case I spit in them, you know, or whatever it is. But, whatever. I'm not in court.
Well, they're spinning it.
Well, maybe it could be if you weren't fucking with everybody, right? You know, I don't know. I'm just throwing it out there.
Well, look, the fact is that they're spinning the Snowden thing. They're dumping all this other stuff on top of you. I mean, we had to deal with amnesthesia this week, so kind of Snowden got a little bit pushed to the back burner, except for every douchebag on TV bringing up their big smart screens and going, we thought he was in Hong Kong, and then it appears that he took a layover in a lounge in Moscow, and then 12 reporters hopped on a 12-hour flight to Cuba to take a picture of an empty chair because apparently he wasn't on that flight. He might be going to Venezuela. It could be, you know, Iceland. And Ecuador seems to be considering giving him asylum, blah, blah, blah. It's like they're focusing on where Edward Snowden is as opposed to what Edward Snowden said. And he didn't tell us anything new.
What he exposed.
He verified what we already knew or what we already suspected, but he's not the first NSA whistleblower to tell us this shit.
Right.
But the damn, quote, Republican conservative Tea Party people didn't pay attention back in 2005 because W was in the White House, and fuck it all. If it's a Republican and he's killing terrorists, give him all the police power he wants and then bitch about it when a Democrat gets it. And if you're a
retard,
let's go anti-war. Bush Cheney, people lied. He lied, people died. And then when Obama puts Bush's war policy on fucking steroids, y'all disappear. How about not giving any of these fuckers this power?
I saw this argument between fools on the interwebs earlier. And these guys are talking about, well, Obama this, Obama that. And it's, you know, people on the right, and they're freaking out, and they're running to the hills. You know, all this kind of stuff. And then these people on the left are like, oh, yeah, but this is just Bush's policy. I mean, it's Bush's fault. Bush is the one. Obama, I mean, what is he going to do? Shut the policy down? I'm like, why are you defending it? Why do you feel this reflexive need to defend what this asshole is doing? You know? Oh, well, it's my team, so it must be okay. Well, my guy's not as bad as your guy, and here's how I parse it out in my mind, because everybody is so caught up in this team mentality bullshit. This is what the Founding Fathers were talking about. Factions are not just a bad idea, they are fundamentally evil. Because look, the American people, they're stuck on the two teams. I had a conversation with a friend the other day who doesn't believe in this program, thinks it's terrible and everything. And so I'm talking to him about it. He's like, oh, what am I going to do, start riding the elephants, right? Oh, I'm going to start voting Republican? I'm like, you know what I'm saying? I mean, look, I'm just saying it's objectively bad, okay? Like, this is a horrible thing. I don't care which party did it. It's just a horrible thing to be doing. And we as Americans ought to sit down and, like, I don't know, I kind of think this is some bullshit here. Like, who else? I mean, we're sitting here at the dinner table. Pass mashed potatoes, by the way. Do you think this is bullshit? Oh, it's a little bullshit, right? You know? But instead, they're like, oh, yeah, well, what am I going to join your team? Like, I don't have a team, you know, at this point. Like, the teams don't even have players anymore. They just have senators. They don't care about you or us or anybody. But you have this
allegiance
to them. Yeah. They have this,
that's a team.
You have
we
this
the people.
Allegiance to them. You think John Boehner gives a shit about you or what you're doing on a daily basis, or Nancy Pelosi wants to come hang around a bunch of Democrats, come by their house and talk to them? You know, no. They don't give a shit about you. Nancy Pelosi's making money hand over fist. You know, and she's like, oh, if my husband places a trade, it's not me. I mean, because my husband, he has different information than I do. Yeah, you never talk to him. It never happens. You know, I mean, oh, my God. Anyway,
you know what
we
I just
think
bought a property
is,
conveniently located two blocks from a subway that we just paid for with your tax money, but that's just a fluke.
Yeah, no shit.
And the value of the property goes up 200% overnight, but I didn't know that in advance. It's a bunch of crap.
Yeah, right.
Here's the real problem, though. Here's the real problem. This is far, far worse than we think, because we're kind of, you know, talking about it, and it's out there every day, and we're kind of desensitized by the 24-hour news cycle, and it's all the Snowden thing, and but this goes back, man. This goes back. It's been going on since the 50s. I mean, that's when this no such agency came online. They started with Echelon. They've been upgrading their programs. Now we're at PRISM, and that's the one we know about. Who the hell knows what Snowden didn't know about? But, you know, he's not the first one. And to put it
in perspective. Well, that's the thing. That's the first thing they dismiss it. Oh, he's just some low-level contractor, doesn't even have a high school degree. He's, like, semi-retarded. You know, He's ugly. He can't even speak in complete sentences. Like, they negate it. But yet he knew all this crap. Well, what the hell do the other people know? You know, like, just super geniuses. Just, like, brains are so big, you know, five dwarves have to carry it on a plate behind them when they walk down the hall. You know, what do those guys know? What's going on in this place, you know?
Yeah. And he didn't finish college? Is that what the deal is? Or he didn't finish high school?
No, I believe he finished high school, but he just has a high school degree,
GED.
Right?
Oh, okay. You know who else doesn't have a college degree? Let's see, Richard Branson, Bill Gates, Michael Dell. I don't know if that's necessarily a qualification. It seems that this guy was proficient enough with information technology to be able to download this spy shit and get to Hong Kong before anybody knew where the hell he was. So I don't know if I'd be knocking his intelligence, or maybe the NSA is not really part of the intelligence community. It's part of the unintelligence community. But
nobody can figure out how to program a computer or how they work unless you have a college degree. You can't just Google that crap. That's crazy talk.
You know, 15-year-old kids can't break them apart and put them back together before they graduate from high school. That's impossible. All right, here's the deal. Let's take a short quote,
Rick Santorum, and say, "You're a snob." Anyway.
Why would you bring that guy up? All right. Real quick. Let's take a 5-minute break and listen to an NSA whistleblower who was a whistleblower before it was cool to be a whistleblower. This is back in he blew the whistle on the NSA back in 2005. This man's name is Russ Tice, and he's got some information that you need to keep in perspective, because this is not about Snowden. It's not about his education. It's not about where in the world he is. This is about the government with massive amounts of technology using your money and putting you in debt in order to grab every piece of electronic communication that you have. All right, so 5 minutes, here's Russ Tice talking about what's going on.
Time ever, President Obama will meet with the 5-member Privacy and Civil Liberties Oversight Board. The president, of course, continues to deal with the fallout over the government surveillance programs. This panel oversees efforts to balance fighting terrorism with protecting freedoms. President Obama previewed his meeting earlier this week, saying the board is made up of independent citizens, including, quote, fierce civil libertarians.
I'll be meeting with them, and what I want to do is to set up and structure a national conversation, not only about these two programs, but also about the general problem of big data sets, because this is not going to be restricted to government entities.
Russell Tice is a former intelligence analyst for the U.S. Air Force. Russell, from your experience in these circles, what do you expect to come out of the meeting today?
Well, I think the situation for these meetings has been available since our previous president, and they've been non-existent to anemic up until this point. So I just can't see how all of a sudden such a board is going to have a say or sway into ultimately violations that are occurring against our Constitution.
So you think that the meeting today is for the most part a PR move?
Pretty much, yes.
President Obama says that there's a lot of misinformation about these surveillance programs out there, so he has asked the Director of National Intelligence to declassify more information without compromising national security. How far will that go to help squash some of the outrage or confusion that's out there?
Well, I mean, there's a lot of disinformation going on. I've always said that the situation is much worse. At some point, I'd like to talk about that. Everything I've seen is where they fall back to the next line of defense. We've seen the previous director of NSA, and I've seen this director. They're basically not telling the truth about what's going on, and they look at what's coming at them from Mr. Snowden's information and what's happened in the past, and they just fall back to the next line of defense. The situation is much worse than what's going on that we know.
How much worse?
Well, for instance, NSA today is collecting everything, including content, of every digital communication in this country, both computer and phone, and that information is being stored indefinitely, and that's something that they're lying about. And that facility out there in Utah is online right now.
And the fact that they have said that they do not do that, you're saying that that's just a flat-out lie?
That's correct.
The Guardian, the paper that broke the NSA news, posted two more classified documents. I'm sure you're aware. One reveals that the FISA court apparently allows domestic communications to be kept even if they were acquired inadvertently. That contradicts claims by the president, other top officials as well. Are they also flat-out lying about this, or is there a nuance to this, perhaps?
There is a nuance. You got to understand the FISA court is being used as a screen to be able to use information that ultimately they can use to throw at somebody in a court of law with a grand jury. They did that when they threw the grand jury at me, and they did that to Jim Risen when they put him up against the grand jury, where they say, we have these digital records that you called this person, this source, but they won't discuss what you said, even though they had word for word everything that you've said, but they won't use that in a court of law,
yeah.
And they'll fall back to the FISA court to say that's how they had justification, just to get the metadata.
Before I let you get out of here, I want to talk to you about another aspect of this story. There are reports now that the outside company that conducted the background check on Edward Snowden is the subject of an investigation, essentially because of its ineptness. How widespread are the problems with the way that we conduct background checks on folks with high security clearances in this country?
Well, every check I've had has been pretty thorough. So I know they've outsourced a lot of that, because here recently, especially after 9/11, they've had the volume of so many people that they're trying to put into the system, that I'm sure they're being overwhelmed by that number of people. So I mean, as far as the IT world is concerned, the education that would be required to be an analyst like myself is fairly extensive, as well as your background or your experience in mind with the military at first. But Mr. Snowden was hired because of his expertise with computers as an IT guy. And that is, when you're an IT guy, that's the main thing you need to know is how to work those computers.
Russell Tice, thank you, sir. Do appreciate your insight.
Thank you.
Still on deck this hour.
There you go, Russell Tice, the whistleblower you've never heard of, verifying to you. This guy knows what he's talking about. He was actually, prosecuted by the government for his whistleblowing. He's telling you they have the content.
Yep.
Think about that.
Of course. And this is the thing. This goes back to just a Jon Stewart skit about this, where he was saying, the thing is, you have to get all this information. This is a long time ago when I was, completely against the Jon Stewart, the Democrat criticism of the Bush program, because we're trying to find the terrorists, which is, you have to have this information so we can connect the dots, right? And if you have a dot leading from point A to point B, then you can connect the dot, and then you have a dot leading from point A to point C, and then eventually it has, this whole page filled with nothing but dots, right? If you have nothing but dots, it's just as good as having no information at all, because you have everything and you can't possibly sort what's important and what isn't important. Well, this comes back to it, because you had with these bombers here in Boston, you had every bit of information that there was available on the Internet, right? Everyone's traffic, the content of everybody's email, your email, everybody you know's email, everything that they're doing. They had all of that stuff, and they couldn't zero in on the Boston bomber. You know why? They had too many damn dots. Who can sort through every damn dot? Nobody can. That's the problem. They have too much information. They can't sort through it. And so you know what? They start going after the things they can control versus things that they can't control. I don't know who's some wackadoodle out there, but, hey, I know who's causing me problems. Let's go control them. Oh, and I know who's rich and famous and who, my employees happen to be interested in, so let's go monitor what they're doing.
And those teabaggers. Don't forget those teabaggers.
I mean, look, let me tell you something. This has come up twice, maybe more than twice, but it's come up at least twice in my life. I used to work for a credit card company, right? When we were doing our training on the credit card company, how to go look in people's accounts, how to deal with accounts. At the end of it, they're like, hey, let's go look at all these famous people who have credit cards with us, right? We go dig into their accounts and look at all the stuff they bought and where they go and all that kind of stuff because it's interesting, right? Same thing with the passport system in the State Department. I had a friend who's like, oh, I was checking out all their passports and where they went, right? Well, guess what? You don't have to be rich and famous. What if the person who works there just happens to know you or have a crush on you or something like that, They essentially can use those systems to stalk you or ruin you or whatever it is that they want to do. But people are people wherever they are. You think, now that I work for the government, all of a sudden I'm imbued with this sense of virtue and, public trust, and all this other they throw at you on TV. It's not
why
real.
Do people
it doesn't
think
happen.
The government is moral. That's the thing that just blows me away. People think the government's moral, like it is better than the private industry or the private business or the corporation. They think that government's moral and it's going to protect you. What a freaking snow job!
It's It's not moral or immoral. The difference is that the private sector, you have competition, and with government, you have monopoly. So actually, you have the same corrupt people in both the private and public sector. Now, honestly, most people who work for government are not crooks. They're not statists. They're not, jackbooted thugs. Most of them are good people, especially in the security business. These are people who genuinely want to protect the country. They might be misguided through training or experience or immersion in an environment, but they're not out to get you. That doesn't mean that there aren't people in government who aren't out to get you. But the problem is that the power is so consolidated and it is monopolized that it actually attracts the corrupt. And that's the problem that you have.
And this idea
that just because it's government means that, it won't do anything bad because it's there to protect us, that's precisely why we fought a revolution in 1776 that we're going to be celebrating on Thursday. And that's precisely why the Founding Fathers drafted the Constitution the way they did, because government is a good. We need government. We're not anarchists here. If you're an ANCAP or an anarchist, that's great, but that we're conservatives. We believe government is a good thing. But too much government, or government without checks and balances, and I'm not talking the three branches checks and balances bullshit that they teach you in school. I'm talking about real checks and balances, which is the militia of the several states and states' authority. That helps keep the power diffused and in check. The problem is that we have been asleep at the wheel for damn near 100 years, that all the power is pretty much held in Washington, D.C., and it attracts corrupt people.
Oh, yeah. Look, one thing about checks and balances, everybody talks about, we've divided the power between the judicial, legislative, and the executive branch, and that's what keeps power in check. No, the first check against power was not giving it any power in the first place. That's what Article 1, Section 8 is about. You can't do shit except these things, right? Otherwise, you're not even authorized to be talking about it. That was the first check on power. And then, by the way, if you talk about these things, you're all going to freaking disagree and you'll probably not be able to get anything done. That's the real balance of power, not the balance between the three branches. It was balanced ahead of time between the states and the federal government. Otherwise, the states never would have agreed to any of this crap. And the process never would have gone through. And it wasn't going to go through. They came up with this, and when you read it, it's like, how sagely they thought about all this kind of stuff. And you know what? You read the Constitution, for as great as you think it was, that wasn't going to fly at all, period, in the colonies. Pre-United States of America, the colonies were like, no way we're signing this thing. And they weren't going to sign it until the Bill of Rights came up.
Bingo.
So no matter how great you think that document is, it's terrible without the Bill of Rights. And the government spent the last, over 200 years trying to get rid of the Bill of Rights. Because, we can't do anything. Yeah, that's the idea.
They can't do anything. They can just do very specific things. And the Bill of Rights, let's be clear about something, though. The Bill of Rights is wonderful, and I agree with you 100%. In fact, without it, the Constitution would have never been ratified. You're absolutely right. But here's the problem with it. The Bill of Rights, it's just a piece of parchment, unless you enforce it. And what does the Bill of Rights do? The Bill of Rights tells the federal government what it cannot do, not what it shouldn't do, or, this is a suggestion. If you guys could, not infringe on our free press or religion or take away our guns, that'd be really nice of you. No, it says you can't do this. But the thing is, it's just a piece of paper because they're going to do it. So what stops them from actually doing it? The only thing that balances force is force, and that's why we've got a government in every one of our states that is just as legitimate and just as valid as the one in D.C. But we always think that the supremacy clause means whatever the federal government does is supreme. That's a bunch of crap. Whatever the government does within the enumerated powers in Article 1, Section 8 does trump the states. But anything else, the states trump. And that's what people need to understand.
They should be teaching this stuff starting in kindergarten.
My genius Democrat friend who said that what he thinks, we're talking about failing schools, he said, I think the government should just take over all the schools and then teach people to think for themselves. That's when you know you're talking with a fucking idiot. The government has taken over the schools, you moron. Welcome to 21st century America. And second,
What government has ever taught its people to think for itself and not to think that the government's freaking awesome? You know, this is the net result of having the government taken over your schools, right? If you want people to think for themselves, don't let the government take it over.
See, that's that ignorance, that thing what I said earlier about people thinking that the government is more moral than the rest of society, that government's got to do it. It's just insane.
Government sits apart from society, and they're having a tete-a-tete with the burning bush up there on the mount, and they're trying to figure out, let's weigh the pros and cons here. In what way would people really work out best? Not like, how can I make more money off these suckers?
Yeah, well, I mean, the thing is, I think the most important thing, though, is that this is a message we all have to get out to everybody. It's very, very important that people understand that education is where it begins. And Ron Paul, let's face it, he was a principled vote in Congress for a long time. Unfortunately, he was usually voting alone, so he didn't get much done. Okay, but what he did do, and even, you know, his presidential bid was shut down by the Tampa rules, which, you know, we're going to revisit in the middle of August. But here's the thing, and this is what he did do. He started an intellectual revolution. Once you start one of those, it's really hard to stop it. And the intellectual revolution has to occur before you get any other practical revolution. And so education is very important. Don't rely on the government. Don't rely on schools. Don't rely on the corporatist media. You have to do the research yourself. You have to figure it out. And, in fact, if you want a good source and you're on Facebook, go to Coalition of Freedom. That's Chris's group. There's a lot of heavy discussion, a lot of investigation, a lot of challenging about the issues that are going on from multiple sources trying to get to the bottom of it to figure out what is going on, why is it happening, who's doing it, and what do you do about it. And that's the important thing. You've got to educate yourself and understand. You know, when you throw a word like militia around, everybody tends to freak out and think about a bunch of people in the woods with guns ready to kill government employees. Militia is in the Constitution. It is a constitutional mandate that every able-bodied citizen between 16 and 60 serve in their state militias in order to enforce the laws and keep the federal government in check. So don't be freaked out by a word like militia, where people are freaked out. Why do people have to walk around with guns? Because, A, it's their right, and, B, the only thing that prevents a bad guy with a gun is a good guy with a gun, you friggin' idiot. So don't be scared of the gun. Be scared of the bad guy. And unless there's a good guy with a gun around, be really scared of the bad guy. So, you know, that's the kind of stuff that we have to educate ourselves on. And then you have to connect the dots, as Tex was saying earlier. You've got to connect the dots because it isn't about just what you see or about the story that they're selling you. There's another level. For example, we just heard from Russ Tice about stuff that we're attributing to Snowden now. Well, Russ Tice warned us damn near 10 years ago. Did we listen then? No, we gave them more power. Okay? So, but connect the dots. This Snowden thing. It's not just about the fact that we got verification that we're being spied upon by our own government, but it is showing the utter weakness and loss of status that the United States is getting on the world stage. We're bullying countries to turn this guy over, and they're turning around and saying, who the F are you to tell us what to do? We don't have an extradition treaty with you. We haven't found this guy doing anything illegal. We actually like some of the stuff he's told us. Ecuador is the place that they've been talking about where, you know, he might end up going, and that's being discussed. But Ecuador is a small little South American country, really doesn't have enough stature to take on the United States. But because of this, they've gotten pretty bold. And real quick before we shift topics, here's two minutes from the president of Ecuador on Snowden.
Soy de Ecuador.
Ecuador is defiantly resisting U.S. calls to reject Edward Snowden's asylum bid. On Thursday, the Ecuadorian government said it would waive preferential trade rights after U.S. officials suggested they could be revoked. In Washington, U.S. Trade Representative Michael Froman said the Obama administration will evaluate Ecuador's eligibility for trade benefits and review a petition calling for their revocation. Foreman's comments came one day after Democratic Senator Robert Menendez said welcoming Snowden would severely jeopardize U.S. relations with Ecuador. In Quito, Ecuadorian President Rafael Correa said his country's dignity has no price.
All of a sudden, trade tariffs became an instrument of blackmail. behave or leave the free trade movement. In the face of threats, insolence, and arrogance of certain U.S. sectors, which have pressured to remove the preferential tariffs because of the Snowden case, Ecuador tells the world, we unilaterally and irrevocably denounce the preferential tariffs. Our dignity has no price.
President Correa's government followed up with a dig at the Obama administration by offering to donate millions of dollars for human rights training in the United States on matters of, quote, privacy, torture, and other actions that are denigrating to humanity, unquote. Later in the day, Correa said Ecuador cannot evaluate Snowden's asylum bid until he's within Ecuadorian territory. Snowden is believed to remain in a transit area of a Moscow airport.
First thing, just as a point of clarification, she was not referring to Abe Froman, the Sausage King of Chicago, just so that there's no ambiguity there. But the interesting thing is that, I mean, Ecuador is challenging the United States, and we're looking bad. Wasn't Obama supposed to fix all of the negative PR we were getting because of Bush? Isn't that what he's supposed to do?
Well, weakness is really popular internationally, let me tell you. Particularly when you're the global hegemon holding everything in check. It's really awesome when you come off like super weak and venal and craven. The world really digs that. They're like, hey, these people are the only, this is like the glue holding the whole world together. Oh, but it turns out they're completely spineless douchebags. You don't know what they're doing. The world comes apart like super fast when that happens. So that's kind of what you're seeing. What are we in? It's only 5 years of Obama. Everything's coming apart already. Like, hey, I think this guy's like a moron. He doesn't know what he's doing. He has no spine. He doesn't care. He just wants, Jay-Z to be doing concerts at the White House. I don't know why I keep going back to Jay-Z all night, but it's a Jay-Z evening for some reason. I don't know.
Maybe because the White House is completely incompetent, and that's about the only accomplishment they've got. They managed to book Jay-Z.
Yeah, exactly. Like that's.
But they can't book Snowden.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. They can't even find him. Oh yeah, I've logged some hours in Sheriff Metvo, by the way. You know that airport over there? Holy crap! No, I'm sitting there thinking, like, I keep hearing like day after day, and he's stuck in Sheriff Metvo. He's stuck in Sheriff Metvo. Believe me, I got stuck in Sheriff Metvo once myself, and really didn't like the experience, and I can just imagine what that would be like if it went on for days and days and days. So yeah, I don't know. That's kind of
well. Don't forget, Obama got Dennis Rodman to go to North Korea and negotiate nuclear stuff for us.
No, he didn't.
That was
Dennis did that on his own. Dennis did that on his own. That had nothing to do with Obama. And that worked.
Well,
that's the crazy thing.
You know, I was going to bring up a point earlier, but I wanted to let it flow a little bit. But it's just a small thing, but it really shows, because this comes back to something that we got, you know, we're always talking about, whether it's here or on the groups or whatever, and that is personal responsibility, being a citizen. In Egypt, when they had the so-called Arab Spring and the Muslim Brotherhood took over like we all knew would, and the mainstream media kept saying, no, they wouldn't, including the administration. And then Mubarak got in there, and then we started sending billions of dollars in tanks and jets, and then their whole economy's falling apart because the guy's trying to initiate Sharia law, and the people that actually started that initial revolution were really wanted freedom. And so it's going to hell in a handbasket. And they signed, the citizens of Egypt, I mean, it's amazing. America, if you get 100,000 people to sign a petition, everybody thinks they did something. 72 million people signed a petition saying, we want our elections done early. Now, when I see stuff like that, I think that is what America should be like. Not like Egypt, because it sucks over there. But you know what I'm saying? That concept of people, instead of saying, well, you know, I'm not worried about it. I ain't doing nothing wrong anyway, you know, and they got to keep us safe. And I want to get felt up again at TSA, and because that was a lot of fun. And especially when they did my daughter and my grandma, that was really funny. Ha-ha. You know what I'm saying? It's like, wake the frick up, people. You know, this country, I'm old enough to know a different world than I live in today, and it blows my mind how fast people have rolled over and wet on themselves.
Go ahead, sorry.
Well, maybe people should stop signing petitions on the White House website.
Oh, yeah, that
actually,
would help.
And actually get together in
hey, NSA,
state.
Be sure to – I'm going to – here, here's a tag on my metadata. Come get me. That was really smart.
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead.
Exactly.
I said on those petitions about succession, if you're going to sign one on the White House website, the only one that would make any sense to sign is to sign one saying that Washington, D.C. should secede.
Yeah.
Because then your state doesn't secede. It's Washington, D.C. that left. I don't know. We're over here. We're great states. You know, we're paying attention to everything. All of a sudden, Washington, D.C. left us. That would have been hilarious.
Yeah, it would have been funny. But, I mean, look, I think that we all have to realize something. You know, posting something on Facebook, broadcasting on Blog Talk Radio, signing a petition, whether it's at Ted Cruz's website or the White House or Tea Party Patriots or whatever, or even showing up, you know, with your Gaston flag at a rally, all of these things are good to get information out there. But they do absolutely nothing unless positive, organized action with massive numbers behind it takes place. And not just at, you know, the voting booth in November. It has to be before then. If you want to have real elections, you're going to have to work on your ballot access rules. You're going to have to work on getting those electronic machines, which are rigged, out. You're going to have to get your state legislature and governor to call up the state militia, okay? Not a voluntary defense force, but an actual militia. You're gonna have to get involved and get active. And when it comes to things like this amnestia bill, you're going to have to hammer the crap out of these guys. Remember that there is a power that you have. No matter how rigged the voting is, they can only rig it so much. And the fact is that they have to have some kind of plausible scenario where it's true. Okay, in the last election, the Republicans lost, not because Obama won. Obama got 13% less than he did 4 years prior. That's a guaranteed loss in any normal situation. The Republicans lost because they ran Robes Monster. And enough of us said, I'm not going to vote for this loser, and we went another way, whether it was right in Ron Paul or Gary Johnson or Virgil Goode or whatever. You know, you went and voted, but you just voted another way, and it was a spectacular defeat for the Republicans. And they're, oh, I wonder what happened. It must be a demographic shift and all this crap that they did and their autopsy and all that crap Priebus did.
Oh.
And what's that?
And speak of justice. So during that election, I'm like, well, we have to go with Mitt Romney because he's this moderate, and everybody's going to love him because everybody loves this moderate, you know, spineless Republican that's going to completely cave to Democrats. Democrats will cross over and say, this guy is so craven, he is so spineless, that he'll do whatever I say. And so I'm going to vote for him, because rather than vote for a guy who's like on my team already, because I'm totally loyal to the jersey, look at how this guy is completely kissing his ass. This is just impressive, so I'm going to go vote for him. This is Karl Rove's political genius, by the way. I just want you to know this is what he thinks is going to happen. Like, oh, it's a moderate. I want to go with one of these moderate Republicans who are pretending to believe what I believe rather than a guy who actually believes what I believe in the Democrat Party, right? This is why it was a failed candidacy. But who do they get caught up in this, spin up in this bull crap, right? Karl Rove goes, talks to Rubio, it's like, oh, you got to moderate. You're going to be our guy who does immigration reform because you're Cuban, and so now you have all this legitimacy by virtue of your background, and so you're going to lead the Republican Party into amnesty, essentially, is what's going to happen. And the Tea Party is going to go for it because you're like a Tea Party guy because you defeated the Republican establishment dude who was Charlie Crist, who wasn't really Republican establishment so much as Democrat hardliner who happened to be in the Republican Party, much like a lot of the candidates that Karl Rove tends to support. Just saying. Maybe you want to look into that. I don't know. And now Rubio is like, oh, yeah, totally. I am the next wave of the Republican Party, and I am in line to be president if I – give amnesty over illegal immigration, which is totally illegal, which is why it's called illegal immigration, right? I am going to be in the front wave of this thing. And then he goes and he starts advocating for this bill. He realizes, like, holy crap, people hate me now.
Yeah,
yeah, well, that's
it's about time.
Sucks.
Go figure. Huh?
Your
it's
bill
about
sucks,
time, though.
And you went with what the leadership told you. And as we've been saying on the show, the leadership is a bunch of freaking morons who are on the other side. The leadership of the Republican Party is called the Democrat Party. They're the leadership
exactly.
of the Republican Party, and they're manipulating, they're pulling the strings, and they're you know, kicking up these wedge issues to make you think that there's actually a choice when there really isn't a choice, and what they're doing is finding anyone who's conservative and they're kicking them out of the party.
Yep.
The name of the game. The Republican Party is run by the Democrat Party. Spoiler alert.
Just go back to Newt's era when they sided with the Democrats to push him into, you know, ineffectiveness, you know.
Yeah.
And that was when the progressives.
And killed the
balanced
budget amendment. Yep.
Yeah, that's when
the damn Democrats
took over the Republican Party.
What do you think Newt Gingrich, they want to get rid of them? Who's funding these campaigns? Who's got all the money? Oh, this guy's going to balance the budget? No, you're not. Because he already proved he could do it. He could force Bill Clinton into balancing the budget. Like, oh, no, we're not doing that again. We're not going to have a balanced budget. Hell no. We're making money hand over fist, raping this government left and right, you know, getting it more and more into debt until it can't do anything without our say-so. And now all of a sudden here comes this guy who figures he can balance the budget. Get rid of him.
That's the name of the game is duopoly. And, you know, it's good we're segueing now from the NSA spying into this amnesthesia bill. Maybe later in the hour we'll get to McWar. But it's interesting because what's happened here is a lot of people are, oh, I'm disappointed in Rubio. I'm disillusioned in Rubio. We've been telling you this since the beginning. The guy has never been conservative. He's only been pretending to be. I played a clip at the beginning where he was talking about how this will, you know, increase illegal immigration, and now he's flipped and he's gone the other way. He's always been on this side of the equation. It's all just rhetoric. And, there's another person of Cuban descent in the Senate who's actually conservative, who actually believes it, right? But he's a non-Hispanic Hispanic because he's against illegal immigration. Now, being against illegal immigration doesn't mean you're against immigration. It just means that you want people to be invited in and to come in through the front door, not sneak around through the back door, which is a national security problem that apparently we don't want to solve. But we're going to send troops halfway across the world to secure the Syrian border. That makes a hell of a lot of sense. Well, Mark Levin had Ted Cruz on his show. It's like a 20-minute segment. It's really good. Check it out. It's on the Tex and Rex show page and in Tex and Rex's Liberty Militia. But we're going to go ahead and play some of it now. It is a 10-minute clip, but it is the top of the hour. We'll be back on the other side of this to talk about amnesthesia. If you want to chime in, the call-in number is 646-649-1013. That's 646-649-1013. So this is a good segment. Pay attention because Cruz and Levin cover a lot, and the whole thing is even more impressive, but we're not going to play a 20-minute clip, so go to our page and check it out, the clips there. But here's Ted Cruz, Senator Ted Cruz, on the Mark Levin Show.
Thankfully, the Senate is not the last stop on this train. In order to be passed into law, a bill has to be passed by the House as well, and I'm confident the House of Representatives is not going to pass this bill, which is not a good bill. This thing is a mess. It is over 1,200 pages. If it became the law, it would make the problem worse. It would expand illegal immigration. It follows the same pattern we saw in 1986. In 1986, Congress told the American people, we're going to grant amnesty to some 3 million people who are here illegally. And in exchange, we're going to secure the borders. We're going to fix the problem of the illegal immigration. Illegal immigration will go away. Well, we all know what happened, which is that the amnesty happened, and the borders never got secured. And now, 3 decades later, instead of 3 million people, we've got 11 million people who are here illegally, and a lot of human tragedies. I mean, it's a broken system that encourages illegal immigration the way we have now. And the Gang of Eight is telling the American people, we're going to give you the exact same deal. We'll give you legalization up front, and sometime in the future, we'll maybe kind of sort of secure the border. And just like in 86, the border security would never happen. And so it is a bad bill, but I can tell you that is why just over a week ago we launched a national petition. It is at secureborders.now.com, secureborders.now.com. In a week, we've had over 100,000 people all over the country sign that petition. I would urge your listeners to go to secureborders.now.com and sign the petition to say, fix the darn problem. Stop making it worse. Secure our borders first. Don't grant legalization without fixing the problem.
Well, you know, what concerns me, Senator, is this. There are people in the Senate, Republicans, who are giving assurances that It's different this time. The border will be secured. Am I missing something? Do we have a bloated central government and a president that chooses what laws he's going to enforce and doesn't want to enforce? Are we not now witnessing right now a president of the United States refusing to comply with existing immigration laws? You know, when a senator says to me or a congressman says to me, this time we mean it, I say, well, are you president? Because obviously he doesn't.
Yep. You're exactly right. As you know, this president has been the most lawless president in modern times. There are a host of immigration laws right now that this president is just ignoring, refusing to enforce, whether it is in 2006 Congress passed a law requiring the federal government to build 700 miles of double-layered fencing. The federal government has built 36 miles of that. It just ignores the statute. There's also another federal statute requiring biometric exit entry systems to be in place. DHS Janet Napolitano ignores the statute. She says it's too expensive, we're not going to do it. There's another statutory requirement for Homeland Security to measure what's called operational control of the border. Now, they used to do that. The last year they measured it was 2010. 2010, they concluded, if my memory serves me correctly, that 873 miles was operationally, there was operational control for 873 miles out of roughly 2,000 miles on the border. And they said, well, gosh, this isn't very good. Our metric is showing that over half the border is not secure. So what did DHS do? They just abandoned the metric. They said, we don't measure it anymore because we didn't like what it showed. Mm-hmm. And over again, they're ignoring statutory requirements, and it's a virtual certainty. In fact, it is a total certainty. They will do so if the Gang of Eight bill ever passed, especially because this bill, just like Obamacare, has nearly 1,000 waivers written into it. So Janet Napolitano has the authority under the Gang of Eight bill to ignore vast portions of it.
Marco Rubio denies this. He flat out denies it. He texted me about an hour ago and said these things that I'm saying about it are not accurate, and I'm looking at these sections I'm reading. I know how to read English, and it looks that way to me. Am I missing something?
Look, on the face of it, this bill weakens existing law on border security. It weakens the fence provision. It weakens biometric control. It weakens operational control. And it makes the very same mistake as 1986. It puts legalization first, and it promises the border security in the future. You know, as I like to analogize it, it's like the character from Popeye, Wimpy. I'll gladly pay you Tuesday for a hamburger today. I mean, the promise Congress is saying is, we'll gladly secure the border on Tuesday for legalization today. And I don't think the American people are nearly gullible enough to fall for it again.
I want to play something for you. This was a candidate who ran for re-election. The voice originally, the first voice you're going to hear is a sheriff. The second voice you're going to hear is probably familiar to you. And this was one of the commercials that this candidate ran, and he ran scared for re-election. Go ahead, Mr. Producer.
Drug and human smuggling, home invasions, murder. We're outmanned. Of all the illegals in America, more than half come through Arizona. Have we got the right plan? Plan's perfect. You bring troops, state, county, and local law enforcement together. And complete the dang fence. It'll work this time. Senator, you're one of us. I'm John McCain, and I approve this message.
Complete the dang fence. That's what the commercial was called. Isn't that what we, the people, are saying? Complete complete the damn fence, and then we'll look at the rest of it.
Well, unfortunately, Mark, you speak far too plainly to ever serve in Congress.
Yeah, tell me.
They wouldn't know what to do with you. I think they'd run screaming for the hills.
Well, you know what? Somebody said I should serve as Attorney General, and I figure I have to run from the Attorney General.
Now, I will mention to you, Mark, you know, there is a Virginia Senate seat that is up this term.
Okay. All right, let's calm down now.
Look, we can start a draft movement right here and now. That would be something
else.
That would
be scary. Do you remember when you came up to me, the Values Conference, I think it was, and you came up to me and you said, Mark, I'm going to run for the Senate. Remember that?
I do.
And I said, okay, What can I do? But I figured, okay, you'll give it a shot. But look what you've done. It's absolutely a beautiful thing, Ted. And God bless you, my friend.
Well, look, I mean, we're at a crisis point. I mean, we've got to stop what's happening. If we keep going down this road, we're going to lose our country. I mean, it's... you know, there are so many millions of Americans that I think are scared, that are demoralized, that realize we're at the edge of a cliff. But at the same time, America, every time we face great threats, we come together and we turn it around. And I'm convinced we can do it. I mean, as you know, in the Senate campaign in Texas, when I started running, nobody thought we had a prayer. But what happened, I was at 2% in the polls. I've often joked that the margin of error was 3%. Those were our real poll numbers. And yet, thousands upon thousands upon thousands of grassroots activists knocked on doors and made phone calls and got on Facebook and Twitter. And although we were outspent 3-1, we went from 2% in the polls to winning the primary by 14 points, winning the general by 16 points. That's what is incredible. When the grassroots come together.
And what percentage of the Hispanic vote did you get?
Yeah, we got over 40%.
Mm-hmm.
Over 40%, and it is one of the most condescending and offensive tropes that is used in favor of this Gang of Eight legislation as well. Republicans have to embrace this amnesty to attract the Hispanic vote. And you know what? It's simply not true. There's no data to support that. And it is offensive to suggest that Hispanics, I can tell you in Texas, I campaigned quite vigorously on secure the border, fix the problem, stop illegal immigration, and at the same time, welcome and celebrate legal immigration. Mm-hmm. As you know, I'm the son of an immigrant, a legal immigrant, and that's what's made our country strong. And that received the support of nearly 700,000 Hispanic voters in the state of Texas, and yet, what do they say in Washington? Give away your principles, give away the rule of law, don't secure the borders, and that's what Hispanics want, and I don't think that's right.
No, I don't think it's right either, and I'm sick of people speaking for Hispanics or Italians or Germans or African Americans or me when they don't. Ted Cruz, God bless you, my friend. We appreciate you very much.
Mark, keep speaking the truth to power, and the American people, we're standing up and we're turning things around.
So they should still call their senators and congressmen, right?
Absolutely call your senators and congressmen. Your senators, you're running out of time, but call your congressmen. Tell them, do not support this Gang of Eight bill. Secure the borders first, and then also go, please, and sign our petition, secureborders.com. And I'll mention to you one of the most striking things. I know we're running out of time, but one of the most troubling aspects of the Gang of Eight bill is that it, in combination with Obamacare, puts effectively a federal tax penalty on businesses that hire American citizens or legal immigrants of $5,000 an employee. It basically sets up de facto affirmative action for hiring those who are here illegally. That makes no sense whatsoever.
There it is, and there's a lot more to it. Check it out on our Facebook page, the Tex and Rex Show, and it's also posted in the Coalition of Freedom, so take a gander there. That is Senator Ted Cruz, a real conservative, laying it out for you. Now, I think one of the most important things, there's a lot of stuff we can talk about that he said, but the most important thing, and what I want you to remember, is the House has to vote on the Senate debacle from the Gangster 8 bill, and Boehner's caucus is fairly against him on this one. Watch the tricks. Watch his tricks. He's going to try to bring it forward with, you know, bits and pieces of amendments to try to get it through, because he believes that this is a losing proposition to not pass immigration reform because people want immigration reform. Well, people may want immigration reform, but nobody wants this. And so you've got to stop them, which means call your congressman. Call all of the others, too. Okay, you can find their information. It's real easy. At the House Gov site, you can put in your zip code. It'll tell you who your congressman is. It'll give you their home office near you, and it'll also give you their D.C. office, and you can look up any of the others as well. There's an alphabetical listing, thanks to Arlene, That's posted in the Texas and Rex's Liberty Militia, so check that out there. You can call all of them. Hit the key ones, especially the ones that are on committees. All this information is available on the House website. But here's the important thing. It's great to go to one of these automated fax sites or automated email or email them yourself or call their offices. Calling their offices is the best bet because you're going to actually speak to a staffer and give them your view so that they will kind of, they won't necessarily take into account your view.
Don't call them. Dude,
yeah,
I work for a congressman. They don't give a shit. Seriously. Wait, hold on.
But they tally the calls.
Now, the people answering the phone are interns. They're unpaid interns. The congressman, you're like, you know, the congressman, if you're lucky, will kick you in the nose if you're an intern. Like, seriously, they don't give a shit. And you answer the phone. So if you call the congressman's office, it's meaningless. Write them a freaking letter. And apparently they care about this Twitter crap. But let me tell you something. Okay, so I used to work for the chairman of the budget committee. He could have given two shits who called in, period. And if you're not calling in from the right area code, if you're not in their district, they dismiss everything that you have to say, first off. So calling your congressman may be nice, but I would follow up with a letter, you know. Because the thing is, you call and you get all psyched up and, oh, I'm going to call. And then you unload on, like, some 18-year-old douchebag who isn't being paid in the first place. And the congressman, you know, like, the 18-year-old's like, oh, congressman, someone called in. It turns out that, you know, some of the citizens are upset. He's like, you know, pushes them in the head and walks into the freaking, you know, chamber. He doesn't care what that kid says. Eh, fuck you, you know, retard. This is why I don't pay you, you know. I mean, if I wanted your opinion, I would beat it out of you. So, you know, anyway, you can call the 18-year-olds and give them a hard time, but, you know, I don't know. I wouldn't.
Well,
I would write them a letter.
Well, absolutely. Well, we're running out of time, and they are home this week. But, yeah, written letters are better than emails and better than faxes. They do, I think, tally the calls, yay and nay, so at least that it will add to the numbers. Don't only call, but make that part of your campaign. The most effective thing to do is go there in person. Show up and tell them that you don't want this and that you're representing however many people are in your Tea Party group, in your neighborhood, in your, you know, golf team, whatever, you know, whoever you play basketball with, whatever. Just let them know that there are other people that you're talking to and that they all feel the same way and that they better listen to you. So, you know, if you can't get to their office in D.C., this week is a great opportunity to visit them at their office back home because they're all going home. And the plan is that when they come back from the July, you know, Independence Day holiday, Obama and Boehner want to bring this thing to a close before the August recess. So this is going to be hot right after Independence Day weekend, starting this Thursday going through the weekend. So hammer them. That's the most important thing you can do. But Tex and Chris, I mean, what did you think about Senator Cruz there with Mark Levin?
I think Cruz is awesome. I'm so fired up that people are finally realizing who Rubio is. I knew who he was a long time ago. In the primary, yeah, I had him figured out. You know, I didn't know about him in the 2010. I didn't really follow the
Tea Party. Surprised his, you know, BS has caught up with him so soon. Like, I thought he was going to be able to ride this thing for years. It's like, oh, wow, that was a really short ride. I mean, his career is like shorter than that of Chris Cross, you know. That guy was going to make a jump, and then, you know, now he's sitting on a stump, you know.
They set him up.
Because his career's in a slump. But, you know, mm-hmm. Rubio, yeah, I agree. They set him up for sure.
Good. That's all I can say.
No, it's overreach, okay? It's overreach, and that's the power that you've got. And I think that the point that's highlighted here, because, I mean, look, a couple of things that struck me about it. First of all, Ted Cruz is of Cuban descent, and his father was an immigrant. So, you know, when you want to paint him as anti-immigrant, I mean, that's just insane, or anti-Hispanic. I mean, come on. Now, you know, one could argue that, well, you know, Mexicans and Guatemalans and Central Americans and Cubans, they don't exactly get along. Well, guess what? Marco Rubio's heritage is the same as Ted Cruz's. But somehow,
yep,
Marco Rubio is the Tea Party conservative darling, and Ted Cruz is derided as a wacko bird. Well, the fact is that Rubio is a friggin' plant. Rubio is a liar. He speaks in one context on Spanish language TV, and then he turns around and speaks differently on American language TV.
I would say Rubio has been compromised.
What an idiot!
He was compromised
from
the
day.
He he's compromised from the get-go.
Nobody will translate that and get it out to the public. What was he thinking?
Well, he's thinking that we're stupid. And the thing is, that, look, this is exactly what he did in Florida for Mitt Romney against Newt Gingrich.
Yep.
In the primary there.
I remember it.
So I knew he was a snake from that moment, and I've been saying it, and I've been saying it a million times. The only reason that the Tea Party got all excited about Marco Rubio is because he was running against Charlie Crist, and Charlie Crist, the only, you know, is just so left. The only claim to fame that Rubio had was he's more conservative than Charlie Crist. Well, you know, Chris Christie's more conservative than Charlie Crist. Yeah, Joe Biden might be more conservative than Charlie Crist. So what's the point? You know, and I think that the important lesson here is that they're going to try to 2010 you in 2014. They're going to run rhetorical conservatives who are pliable rhinos just like Rubio to get the Liberty Movement and the Tea Party movement who's fed up with Obama's crap to give them a win in 2014, and then they're going to turn around and they're going to govern against you in 2015. So you really got to vet your candidate.
Rex, we're dim out here. We can't tell real conservatives from pro-conservatives. What would be an easy way for us to tell the two apart?
Why, Tex, I'm glad that you asked. One really easy way to tell them apart is whichever rhinos Karl Rove's conservative kill pack supports are the ones you want to target for destruction. How about that?
Excellent. So if Carl is supporting him, don't vote for that piece of crap.
And keep your eye on who Palin's backing. She's got
Carl
probably
Rove
more.
Carl Rove is the Democrat Party in the Republican Party. Screw him.
Worse than that.
Anyway, go ahead.
I mean, he's worse than a Democrat in the Republican Party. He what Karl Rove is about is the same thing that what Pat Caddell called the CLEC, which is the consultant lobbyist establishment complex. And half of the RNC committee people are part of this CLEC, which is what makes it damn near impossible to get anything done. But August 14th in Boston, the RNC summer meeting is happening, and you better hammer the crap out of those committee men to get these tamper rules changed, because if they're not, then someone like Ted Cruz, well, I don't know if Ted Cruz can, but you know, in the same vein, Rand Paul or Mike Lee or Justin Amash has no shot at higher office in the Republican Party. So these rules have to be changed. But Karl Rove is worse because, at least for the most part, Democrats have an agenda. It's a shitty agenda. It's progressive, socialist, communist agenda, but they at least have an agenda. People like Karl Rove don't have an agenda other than lining their own pockets. And they don't care if they destroy your side of the political divide in the process as long as they get paid. They proved it with their robot that they ran in 2012, despite what the base wanted. Nobody wanted Mitt Romney. I mean, there were people who wanted Bachman, Kane, Santorum even, Gingrich, and, of course, Ron Paul. But they kept on saying Romney, 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 and they put him through. And they spent more money than anybody has ever spent on a campaign to lose to a guy who got 13% less votes. That's how bad this is. So it makes them even worse than the Democrats. At least you know where the Democrats are. They're trying to push a progressive socialist agenda. So you know what you're up against. But with guys like Rove, you don't know
Paul
who you're
Rove's
up against because they'll do anything
though.
So long as they get paid. Go ahead.
Karl Rove can't lose. He's a big genius. He wins everything. You put Karl Rove up against anything, he'd squeak out like 0.001%. Karl Rove. Screw this guy. Why is anybody listening? How did he get this title? Who cares about Karl Rove? He sucks. He's always sucked. He's never been on your side. He convinced Rick Perry to leave the Democrat Party and become a Republican. And now Rick Perry is like the longest-serving governor in Texas and acting Democrat shit under the Republican name. Hey, great. That's awesome. Let's take this bullshit national and let's elect a bunch of Democrats and call them Republicans. And then they'll go enact the Democrat program in Washington thinking it's a Republican program. And guess what? Because everybody votes for their freaking jersey rather than pay attention. They say, oh, this is awesome because it's Republicans doing it. And I don't care that I'm getting screwed and I completely hate everything that the Republican Party is doing now. But because Karl Rove said it's okay, it's going to be awesome. Fuck that guy. Seriously, fuck him. Anybody still listen to this guy? How is he still on television and people aren't, like, turning off the TV or throwing tomatoes at it or calling up? Like,
yeah, I can't believe he spends as much time as he does on Fox. It blows me away.
Well, what they did, right?
You know,
they put him in timeout.
I said on the show before. Yeah. He wants Nancy Pelosi in the Republican Party. That's what he wants. Oh, she always gets reelected. We could win San Francisco then. Well, what would be the fucking point, Carl? Oh, it doesn't matter. Then you have an elephant that's running San Francisco. Well, nobody gives a shit if they're enacting Democrat policies. But he doesn't see that. See, he doesn't take it to the next level because he's like a fucking moron. Well, the thing is, he gets paid no matter what. And that's the thing. He's scooping up millions of dollars. Your millions of dollars because you're donating to this crap. He's taking your money. He's sticking it in his pocket. And he's like, whoa, look at me.
Karl Rove is about Karl Rove. And here, that's, you bring up a great point, Tech.
In summary, I don't like the man.
We were
wondering. I was wondering. You were kind of.
But here's the thing, folks. You're going to get letters. I think that anybody who's ever given money to any Republican candidate just got a letter from Marco Rubio asking you for money after he just bent you over, a barrel over this gangster vape bill, lying to you about it. He even lied when he tweeted or texted Mark Levin telling him you're wrong about this, that, and the other. And then Ted Cruz, who happens to be a senator who read the bill, said, no, that's bullshit. Marco Rubio's wrong, and this bill sucks. So
not just
you
that.
For money.
Don't you think Levin worked in the DOJ and he's an attorney and he has a legal foundation that he has the ability to read a freaking piece of legislation and figure it out? I mean, that's some balls to tell Levin he doesn't know what he's talking about.
Well, here's
God.
What he was counting on. He was counting on the fact that Levin hadn't received the bill for long enough to get through all 800 or whatever pages of it there was. Ted Cruz, of course, had received it before. So he was just banking on the fact that Levin hadn't actually gone through it yet. But Levin's pretty bright, and he had been. And he had Ted Cruz on, so that trumped that. But here's the important thing. Do not give Marco Rubio any money. Do not give Karl Rove any money. Do not give the GOP any money. Don't give it to the House side, the Senate side, the national side, the knitting circle side. Don't give the party any money, and only donate to candidates whom you've vetted, who are actually conservative, who are principled, and more importantly, who actually have the balls to do it instead of caving as soon as they get into the pressure cooker called the Imperial City in Washington, D.C. on the Capitol Hill. So just be very careful about where you put your money so that we actually get people who need to be supported. And also watch out for other groups. Now, not beating up on anybody particularly, but some Tea Party groups might be calling and asking you for money. Find out. Do they consider Marco Rubio a Tea Party candidate? Because that's how he was sold to me, and I never bought it, And if you want to listen to somebody who knows what they're saying, I mean, we were talking about Karl Rove. Well, he had that meltdown on election night, the friggin' idiot. So Fox News put him in time out. They also put Dick Morris in time out. And then, of course, they never brought Dick Morris back, but they brought Karl Rove back, and now he's spewing his shit with his whiteboard on Fox News. Sarah Palin was with Fox News, and apparently she did not renew her contract because I suspect she didn't like being boxed in. But now she's back, and she's not as timid. If she ever was timid, but she's not
as
controlled as she was before.
Yeah, she's not. She's kind of. She must have been able to tell him, "You're not going to hold me back this time." If you want
That's
me
what
back,
happens when
this
we turn
is
off
what
Fox
it's going to take.
Yeah, the ratings tank.
Yeah,
and
I know
they
a
need
lot of
someone like
did.
Sarah Palin back. Yep. So you guys want to hear a little bit from Sarah Palin? See her kind of talk about the way that this gangster of eight bill was pushed, and a little bit about what the Republican Party is about to do as far as committing suicide.
Hey, I'm Alaskan, so I'm good.
All right, here we go, Mama Bear Palin, 5 minutes.
Welcome back, everybody. Well, she's calling for more accountability in light of the recent IRS scandals and NSA leaks, and she's not too happy about the Senate's new immigration bill. Joining us now, Governor Sarah Palin, who's all fired up today about this week's happenings here in the nation's capital, and she's joining us live. Welcome, Governor. Great to see you.
Thank you, Ma. I appreciate being on.
You put that tweet out today about the concerns that you have over the immigration bill that was passed by the Senate. I know you're really upset about it, and you believe that Republicans just caved in. Why do you think that happened this week?
I think that Republicans who caved, along with the Democrats who caved into Obama's wishes to legalize illegal aliens, is a matter of a lack of principle and a respect for the rule of law. This was an absolute betrayal of working-class Americans who do respect the rule of law, and legal immigrants who have come here and stood in line and paid their dues, if you will, and become new Americans. that this bill, 24 pounds, 1,000 pages of a rush job of a bill that literally was rushed through with Pelosi. It was something that the lawmakers decided they had to pass in order to find out what was in it. It doesn't solve any of the problems that we may have with immigration, and an absolute betrayal of the will of the people and of the rule of law.
You know, when people complained about Obamacare and the 1,000 pages that were in that bill, lawmakers vowed never to let anything pass again without reading it. And yet again, when this immigration bill came up for a vote, so many lawmakers had not even read it and were just voting on the issue from what they'd heard.
Yeah, that's some of the hypocrisy of our permanent political class in Washington, D.C., which is an indication of such a problem, of that abandonment of what the people, we the people, expect from our representatives and those whom we elect to fulfill the will of the people. Yes, with Obamacare, there were all those complaints about, you know, we don't know what's in it, you can't just rush this thing through, and you know, later on we'll find out what's in it, and we're going to find a lot of problems, which they have in Obamacare. Same thing will happen with the immigration, the amnesty bill. It's quite unfortunate.
Really quickly, before we get some viewer questions, I want to ask you, what are your thoughts this week about the way President Obama responded to the concerns over Snowden, the NSA leaker, saying that he is in no rush to pick up what he described as simply a hacker?
Well, you know, the whole issue with Snowden and with the government's violation of our Fourth Amendment rights to privacy and against searches and seizures of our property, including communications, the problem there is that government has lied to us, and they do spy on our communications, and it took Snowden to disclose that. Though if he's violated the law, then he needs to get back here and answer to the rule of law, because we are still a nation that respects the rule of law, right? Even though amnesty bill just sort of thwarted all that. But with Obama deciding to just, lead from behind on this issue too, that's the community organizer in our president. That's a little bit of that lackadaisical, don't have to take responsibility. And his resume proves that he hasn't had to take responsibility for much in all these years. This is just another issue, another example that falls in line with a community organizer.
Let's get to some of the viewer questions. I know that we receive a lot of questions from folks who are anxious to hear from you. We have one from Josh Painter, who is asking, would you and radio talk show host Mark Levin be willing to build a Freedom Party if the GOP continues to ignore conservatives?
Well, I love the name of that party, the Freedom Party. And if the GOP continues to back away from the planks in our platform, from the principles that built this party of Lincoln and of Reagan, then, yeah, more and more of us are going to start saying, you know, what's wrong with being an independent, kind of with that libertarian streak that much of us have? And in other words, we want government to back off and not infringe upon our rights. I think there will be a lot of us who start saying, GOP, if you abandon us, well, we have nowhere else to go except to become more independent and not enlisted in one or the other of the private majority parties that rule in our nation, either a Democrat or a Republican. Remember, these are private parties, and no one forces us to be enlisted in either party.
Sarah Palin, it's always great to have you on board. Thank you so much for joining us today. We really appreciate it.
Thank you.
She doesn't make idle threats. So if she realizes that the GOP has pissed off enough conservatives and she decides to go another way, even if she's not the candidate of whatever this Freedom Party might be, they'd better watch out, because that's something that could actually completely destroy the Republican Party. I don't think that'll happen in 2014 or 2016, but it could certainly be a problem.
You raise an interesting point, Rex, which is if the current Republican Party pisses off enough conservatives, that a lot of people will start considering leaving.
That's already happened.
When it comes to looking for conservatives who are happy with the Republican Party, here I'm hard-pressed. Do you know anyone who's happy with this party, this piece of shit organization that we have? We're supposed to, like, we're following, like, Fox News. Fuck Fox News. I'm watching this thing now. I can't. I mean, how do you watch this thing and not just give it the double middle finger every time, like, somebody starts talking, like, your right hand goes up and like, oh my God, I'm giving it the finger. And then the left hand goes up and like, I totally agree with what I'm doing right now. I mean, screw the entire right, what is supposed to be the right. I hate the Republican Party right now. It is just complete crap garbage. Everything it stands for sucks. Everyone knows it. Everybody you talk to hates it. And they're like, oh, yeah, we're totally going to win in 2016, but I'm worried about Hillary Clinton. I'm not worried about Hillary Clinton. I'm worried about you. Who are you going to run? You suck. Everything you stand for sucks. You've lied to us for 20, 30 years. Now you're going to run some fucking candidate that we're supposed to vote for? I hate your organization. I hate everybody in your organization. I hate the leadership of your organization. Bunch of liars. Bunch of betrayers. Nothing you stand for do you actually believe in. It's all manipulation. Screw them. Anyway, sorry, I'm a little upset. I'm a little bit harmed. But so is everybody else. Screw this organization. Party. It doesn't even exist. There is no Republican Party. This is just an annexing of the Democrat Party.
That's right.
That autopsy report was the biggest joke I've ever seen in my life. Who were the people on that team? A bunch of Romney people, a bunch of Rove people, a bunch of rhinos. You know, right. I mean, it's like, why didn't they just pull us? You know, the people out here that, you know, the blood, sweat, and tears of the party, the grassroots, the people get out and get shit done and, you know, are on the social media, that knock on doors, that donate money, that, you know, get out the vote, that didn't get out the vote for El Rombo, you know, Romney.
Well, that's because you might actually, demand that they're conservative. You'll demand that they actually do what they say instead of just say what you want to hear and then do something else. That's why they didn't come for you. I mean, think about it, right? We have to figure out a way to reach people, non-white voters and younger voters and women. Did you see the people that were supporting Ron Paul? You crapped all over them in Tampa, and then you turn around and you say, how do we attract these people? They were already coming to the party. They were already in support of conservative principles, authentic conservative principles, and you crapped all over them, and then you wonder, how do we attract them? Ron Paul showed you how to do it, so just do what he said.
Yeah. Well, exactly. I have a bracelet that I keep, you know, whenever I'm troubled, you know, my dark times. And, you know, I just look at it and it says, what would John Boehner do? And then I know exactly how to cave in and betray myself. That's
call it your precious?
Yeah, exactly. What would John Boehner
WWJB?
Yeah, exactly. God.
What up?
Anyway, so, how is he Speaker of the House? How they voted for
this
guy?
How did he get
like,
that?
The House of Representatives. The House of Representatives, like, if this
because,
guy screws up one more time, we're going to get rid of him. Like, how many times does he have to screw up? You know, like,
because,
I don't know.
Because tepid conservatives,
like, how many times this guy fucked up?
No, it's because tepid conservatives like Michelle Bachmann were playing the game, and instead of voting him down, they were, you know, wondering which way the wind was going to blow before they voted. And we only need 17 votes, and we got, like, 12 to make him not Speaker. And, you know, Representative Gohmert nominated Newt Gingrich. That would have been pretty cool, right? But you have people in the House who could actually do a better job. You know, as young as he is, a real powerhouse would be Justin Amash or Trey Gowdy. I mean, there are so many choices for real conservative Speaker of the House.
You know who would have been better than John Boehner? You know who actually would have been really better than John Boehner? Anybody. But people are like, oh, no, John Boehner said I'm fourth in line for chairman of the horseshit committee on, you know, Crapitopia. And, you know, I run the cattle paths and National Park Services of Idaho, you know, whatever it is. Like, I'm fourth in line for that, so I better shut up and vote for John Boehner. Who cares? They voted for this crap. Anybody would have been a better Speaker of the House than him. He sucks. Like, oh, I live in fear of John Boehner. How do you live in fear of John Boehner? I mean, you put him in power. He doesn't even know what he's doing. I mean, if he's coming after you.
Oh, he knows what he's doing. He knows what he's doing. He's just not doing anything you want him to do. He's not doing anything conservative.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly. What he's doing, basically, is giving Obama everything he wants while talking against Obama and how terrible he is for political reasons to fool conservatives that are asleep at the wheel and not paying attention. But Obamacare, right? This bill could, you know, was passed on a Senate bill, and the Supreme Court deemed it a tax which revenue bills have to originate in the House, John Boehner could have crushed Obamacare right there, right? Same thing with this amnesty
and defunded
bill.
I have a problem with the concept of Boehner and crushing anything, but go ahead. He might
crushed ice at happy hour.
Crushed ice at happy hour, and he can crush a tanning bed. And you know what, though? But I mean, let's be honest. You know, he's a sensitive guy. You know, he feels our pain. He's like Bill Clinton. He can feel your pain.
That's detoxing.
Yeah. He hasn't had a drink in 20 minutes. He starts crying. I need some more vodka. You know, it is testimony to how psychologically conditioned we Americans have become by the friggin' idiot box, by the internet, by our banality, by our consumerism, by our materialism. We've forgotten what it means to be American, so that we get someone like John Boehner as Speaker of the House. That's third in line for the president. I mean, just think about it, right? This is America. We're about to celebrate our 237th birthday, and the top three men running the government are Barack Obama, who is a friggin' idiot community organizer, Joe Biden, who is, you know, gaff-a-minute Joe, who speaks out of his asshole and thinks it's his mouth, and John Boehner, who cries at the drop of a hat if he hasn't had a drink in 20 minutes. That's what we've become? That's unbelievable. The Founding Fathers would not only have started shooting by now, they would have probably shot all of us just for allowing this to happen. It's unbelievable.
Well, this is supposed to be the greatest deliberative, the Senate, the greatest deliberative body on earth. This is the most powerful, influential, consequential nation on planet Earth right now. You know, by the grace of God at the current moment, because God knows we've completely abdicated that responsibility and the whole world hasn't necessarily caught on yet. Oh, but believe me, they're catching on. You know, we've been living on equity for 50 years. Since the end of World War II, this whole country is like, we took it all over. We bombed the shit out of Europe until there was nothing. Europe ran the planet, right? Let's be honest. And then we bombed the shit out of them, and we said, hey, yeah, France, England, we'll free you from Nazi Germany, but you have to pay us in gold. And guess what was in Fort Knox? All of Europe's gold. Like, thank you for the gold. Now we fucking run planet Earth, and we're still running it, right? And then we became fat and fucking lazy, and we've been living on equity. And we spent the equity, and then we built up debt on the equity, and that debt's growing, and now there's no more debt. And it's like, oh, yeah, okay, well, where's the leadership that's going to lead us out of the darkness and into the light? You know, how are we going to fix this problem? And nobody cares, because you have a whole generation that grew up privileged. They don't care. Yep. We used to have real statesmen in this country that actually cared about things, cared about the direction of the country. They did things in the interest of the people, what was going to be in the best interest of the people, how would the country survive, how would the country, you know, prosper and do well.
The next generation.
And now, exactly. And now what we have are people like, how is this going to increase my bank account and get me a bigger vote?
Yep.
That's what you come
up with.
Everybody's out for yourself, out for themselves. And you know what? This is exactly what every other country on planet Earth was always like, and this was our country was not supposed to be like, where everybody's just on the take. They're trying to
That's socialism.
Trying to rob the bank for themselves.
That's socialism. That's socialism for
and
you. It's not
you know
just
whose
an economic
bank?
System.
Robbing your bank, because that's what the tax is. You're paying into the bank, and then they're robbing it.
Well, no, I think they're robbing the bank.
Oh, but you're not paying your fair
interest.
Share. You know why? Because
they're charging you interest
nothing.
On the robbery. It's worse. They rob
exactly.
the bank, and then they're charging you interest on the robbery.
Exactly.
It's nuts.
Then they're getting ready to launch another war.
Yeah, another war.
Yeah, well, that'll rally
two dozen
everybody.
Going on right now.
Paying attention to how much
no, 74 conflicts we're involved in around the country. 74.
I'll send a bunch of people overseas, and they'll get killed, and then people will be sentimental about that, and they won't pay attention to how big my fucking vote is and how awesome I am.
Yeah, we won't have a youth. You know why they're doing illegal immigration? Because we're running out of our youth.
That's because
you know, they're
that's
either worthless.
You've killed 52 million of them in the last 40 years.
Well,
that's
there's that, too. You know, there's abortion, there's wars, you know, which are the patriotic, you know, energized youth. And then what do you got left? You got the socialist youth that think Obama's king. That's all we got left. You know, they run all the good people out of the military. My son's second tour into Iraq, You know, here he is, a kid. By the second tour, he's a sergeant. You know, he's been seasoned, and he's calling me, going, "This new group coming in, they're worthless as shit. I'm afraid to have these guys cover my back." Now, this is a
That's
kid
they
talking
want.
About people 2 or 3 years younger than him. They're worthless.
That's what
Just
they
go
want.
Go down to the mall.
That's what they want.
Go to Walmart. Go to the mall. Just look around. Go down to a school and look around. It's like they're zombies. They're already, you know, freaking type 2 diabetics because they don't do anything. You know,
that's
set
what
around.
They want.
I mean, it's scary.
That's what they
it
want. They
scary.
Want them lazy, dependent, and pliable. Okay, because you see, if people actually have an idea, something they believe in, the principles of liberty, you know, religious zeal, a desire to do good. You know, or desire for their country to be something that they're proud of, a shining city on a hill, oh, damn, those kinds of people are hard to control. They might not vote for, you know, the duopoly. They might actually demand that we cut spending and not intervene in everybody's business across the globe, you know. So they want them kind of conditioned and pliable. And the fact is, for 100 years, they've been conditioning us in this direction, and it's gotten this far because we've let it happen. You know, you ask how these guys get elected. How are these top three losers the ones that are in charge of government? Well, we did that. We did that. We've allowed that to
well,
happen.
Let's go back to
because
in the Constitution, there's one representative for every whatever it was, 30, 35,000 people. Go back to that. It's like, oh, what they could never meet. There would be so freaking many of them. They could, yeah, it'd be hard to buy them off, too, right? They'd be like so many, like, holy crap, there's like a bajillion of you dudes. How do I buy you off, you know? I mean, I don't know. And like, oh, okay, well, you know, now you can't all meet in one room. Well, guess what? We have the internet, idiot. So, you know, we can all stay at home. We can just vote from home, right? And then you'd know your congressman because there's not like a lot of people per congressman. And guess what? Congress, the House of Representatives, would be far more representative of what the people actually think rather than these idiots.
Yeah, turn that big building into a freaking historical place and force these guys to come home and work with the people in their district.
Well, that's what it's supposed
to
be, a citizen-statesman.
Yeah, you've turned the House of Representatives into the Senate, right? Because you created this massive power distance between the House and the people, right? Where a member of the House represents, you know, millions of people now, rather than, you know, 35,000, which is a very close power distance, and now you've escalated that hugely. So essentially they're like senators now. And then the Senate, you got rid of the fact that the states picked who the hell they were,
mm-hmm.
them being popularly
right.
elected, so there's no break on federal power anymore. They act like the House of Representatives, where they're like, oh, my God, it's like a boat crashed into another boat in, you know, the Ohio River. Now I have massive legislation that will prevent this sort of boat crashing because I'm a, you know, panderer and everybody's a moron and they're going to vote for me. So they're like, oh, yeah, I think boat safety is, like, really important today. And so I'm going to enact this crazy legislation that benefits the one corporation that donates to this senator that I've never heard of from, you know, shithedistan. And, okay,
and then the other
99
guys are
going to
pile in a bunch of stuff into that bill.
Yeah, exactly. Like, oh, yeah, but, you know, I'd like to build a gym named after me in my neighborhood. It would cost $10 million. What do you think about that? Oh, of course, as long as it's for boat safety, we're totally going to build that gym for you, you know. And so people are like, well, you know, at least they did something about those boat crashes. And they go about their day and they're like, why am I getting fucked every day? Like, why don't I have any money? Why are my taxes going up and up and up, but the government can never seem to balance its budget? Well, because you're fucking idiot for one thing, and you keep letting
you don't own a boat.
Away with it.
And you don't
yeah,
own a
exactly.
boat.
You don't have a boat. You don't have a boat, and you care about boat safety. That's your freaking problem right there, you know?
Yeah, I mean, look, 1913 was a
it's
very,
about
very
that
bad
crazy.
Year. It is. It is that crazy, but you know, we're kind of like making light of it and we're laughing because, frankly, if I don't laugh, I'll cry or maybe just, you know, bash some congressman's head in. That,
no.
I meant that rhetorically. I meant that
it's
rhetorically.
It's too late. That's now, what I've decided. It's too late, so who cares? You know what? At this
no,
point, who cares? Whatever.
Well, the thing
it
is, this is what it comes down to.
Fuck them all.
We got to wake them up. That's the thing. When we were talking about it earlier, Ron Paul brought it up. The intellectual revolution has to occur first. Find out what the
mm-hmm.
Constitution says. Before Rand Paul's filibuster, did you ever read the Fifth Amendment? Before Snowden's leak, did you ever read the Fourth Amendment? That is the amendment that prevents the government from taking away your pre-existent rights. Okay, you got to know these things. You know, find out what is a constitutional militia. Go to www.rt2a.org and look that up. Read the information; it's out there. It's free. you still have access to the internet for now. You might as well use it for something other than playing Candy Crush Saga or looking at porn or finding out what Kim Kardashian names, you know, her next illegitimate child. Do something serious. Wake other people up. Get them involved. Get them involved at your church, at your local coffee shop, the local restaurant. Just do it and quit falling for this cultural Marxist crap that you're not, you know, it's impolite to talk about politics in public. Are you kidding? America is designed to have constant and perpetual political discussion because in this country, we are the sovereigns. And that's the thing that I think a lot of people are forgetting. Throughout most of human history, most people have never been responsible for their government because their government ruled over them. For the last 237 years.
If you have friends that won't talk about politics in public with you, they're not good friends. They're just not because they can't talk about things that you disagree with. You always have to have, and it's no good talking to somebody who agrees with you, although that's nice for validation. You got to talk with people who disagree with you and can disagree with you civilly. Those are the important people because now you're learning something between the two sides. You're like, hey, you know, I kind of agree with you on that point, you know. And now you're getting across the party line. But instead, people are like, oh, I can't talk about this stuff. Or when they do talk about it, they've never – you'll find this where people have never talked about political stuff in public before. And they're like, oh, my God, I've never talked about this. So the first thing I better do is support my team, right? And they'll start yelling at you and, like, pounding the table. And like, God, this guy's like a freaking moron, you know. But they'll do that, right? Okay, so there's mature people and there's immature people. And the people who are, like, pounding the table and being, like, fucking morons are like, wow, you're an idiot. You know, you don't know anything. You can't even have an intellectual conversation. Like, if you can't criticize your own team, I don't think you know what the fuck's going on. I mean, I'll just tell you straight up. Even if you're on my side, if you think the Republican Party is all that and they never make any mistakes and, you know, they're awesome and everything they do is right, you're an idiot. And I don't want to know you. Okay,
well,
so that's real.
I agree with that sentiment, however, and I feel the same way, and I can't handle, quote, the idiots. However, you get more flies with honey than you do with vinegar, so it's important that we reach out to these people, because I'll tell you this.
I got a lot of flies already. I don't need more flies, but anyway, yeah, exactly. I'm just saying, I'm all flied up, okay?
I would argue that most toe the line, are voting, red state, actually in their heart conservative Republicans who voted for Roe's monster in 2012 did it because they felt that there was no other choice by the time they went to the polls. What you need to do is get to
them. There was no other choice and they believed it. That's what makes me
right,
angry.
But
they were told
you need to reach out to them now.
Oh, I got to vote for this guy. And if you
psychological
don't vote for this guy, then you're an idiot.
It's psychological
exactly. Well,
conditioning.
See, that's
you've got to break them out of that mold now, in 2013, not in September 2014. And say, hey, don't vote for the rhinos, vote for this other guy. It'll be too late. You've got to do it now, and it can't be done. All right,
that's
let me tell you something.
Told us in 2012.
In
like,
Virginia,
oh,
in the Commonwealth of Virginia.
Hold
on, in the
done.
Commonwealth of Virginia this year, instead of a primary, the party moved to convention. Which means instead of the run-of-the-mill Fox News-watching guy who doesn't pay attention to Jack and just shows up at the primary and hits the R button for whatever candidate he's told who has the most money and the backing of Rove and Huckabee and Hannity and all the other morons on TV, it was convention, which means that you had to be a grassroots-involved person, sacrifice the whole day, pay your own way to get down there, register in advance, and all this kind of stuff. What happened? We elected the most conservative ticket that Virginia has ever seen when Virginia is the least conservative it has ever been. That's a pretty big deal. You got Ken Cuccinelli, you got E.W. Jackson, and you got Mark Obenchain. It's a very conservative ticket, and it's winning heavily right now. Still need support, so keep your eye out. But if that can be done here, and remember something, Virginia is not as conservative as people think it is because we've got a Yankee invasion up around the Imperial City that is all libtards. But it still happened. You've got to reach out to people well in advance so that by the time we get to elections, they've already found who the real conservatives are and who the problems are, and they're voting appropriately. Mm-hmm. And don't think that 2014 has nothing to do with 2016. It has everything to do with 2016. So yeah. It's important to get people involved and get them involved now and teach them. You can share this show. Now, I know sometimes our language is radioactive and excessively colorful. It's because we're passionate. And if that is offensive to someone's ears, let me just tell you something. It's far more offensive to me that you hold conservative principles in your heart, you love your country, and you love your Constitution, and you vote for assholes like Mitt Romney and Marco Rubio and John Boehner and Mitch McConnell. And by the way, just real quick on that, Mitch McConnell may not have voted for this horrible bill because he's running in a state that elected Rand Paul, and he wants to win this coming time, so he's watching his votes. But don't think for a second that behind the scenes this guy wasn't shoving this bill up your you-know-what.
I'm Mitch McConnell. Him. I look like a turtle. Anyway, look, the thing is, we brought this on ourselves. Anybody should have been able to beat Barack Obama. There is no excuse for a 2012 defeat, except the only excuse is that Karl Rove was on our side, and he's rooting for the other team and trying to make it happen, because that's what Karl Rove excels at, losing elections or winning by near squeakers. Even Karl Rove was like, holy shit, how did I win this thing? Like, I did everything to try to lose. I still won, you know, so...
And he
should be in the White House right now, and all this, oh, we've lost America, we've lost everything. You know, no, you've only lost if you fucking give up and if you listen to the current Republican leadership, because you know why? They're on the other team, you know? This is what I was saying before the election actually happened. It's no sense going out on the battlefield and, like, marching, you know, shoulder to shoulder, going to the ballot box and casting the ballots if the enemy is in the command tent of your team, okay? So Mitt Romney... not a Republican. Never been a Republican. He's not a conservative. He may be a Republican, but he's not a conservative. He's never been one of you. He's always been, I need to run for the Senate right now because, I don't know, he's having a life crisis. I don't know what it is, you know. And he's like, I need to run for the Senate right now in 1994. I want to run, but Ted Kennedy has this seat. So guess what? The Democrat Party is like, you can't run as a Democrat. We run Ted Kennedy every single time. And so Mitt Romney decides he's going to switch parties just like Michael Bloomberg and become a Republican to run against Ted Kennedy. He's a Democrat that switched parties in order to run in our party. And then our party decides, oh, well, he's a Democrat, and these Democrats are real popular, so we're going to run him. They're not popular. People
Great
don't
idea.
Like them. They don't like the policies that they espouse. The media dislikes them, and our leadership is so craven that they will bow down to whatever the media wants. And we used to have a leader that actually didn't do that, and we did awesome. We had Ronald Reagan, who didn't listen to what the media had to say. He, you know, sort of out-niced them. And then we had Newt Gingrich, who out-intellectualized them. And we won... stunning majorities. You know why? Because the people, it's there. It's like Tinder just waiting for a match, right? Give us the idea. Give us the spark. And people, they will come out of the woodwork. They will crawl through the desert to go vote for this leadership. But if you fuck it over and you keep giving us Mitt Romney, it's like, what is the point? I can't tell the difference, and none of us could tell the difference. And even, you know, people who voted for Mitt Romney have a hard time telling the difference between Barack Obama and Mitt Romney. There, I said it. Well, I've been saying
there's
it for
no
a
difference.
Long time. Like, well,
there's no difference.
Well,
text you're
to
right.
Repeal Obamacare, except text. That the reason he ran for president in 2008 was that he enacted Romneycare, and the person who wrote Romneycare for him wrote Obamacare for Obama, and therefore there is no difference. And Romney does not have an intellectual problem with Obamacare, and Romney was never going to save you from Obamacare in the first place. You deluded yourself, lied to yourself if you fucking believe that.
Yeah, and Tex, here's the thing. I think you're absolutely right, but the important thing to keep in mind is it wasn't just that the party, the Republican Party, won with Reagan and Gingrich. The country won. Now, real quick, I didn't realize this, but we've only got 2 minutes of live show left. So if you are listening to us live and you want to continue to listen, because obviously we're not going to wrap up in 2 minutes, but we're not going to go too long into overtime, you've got to call in now. I can't take on any callers, but then you can continue to listen live. The call-in number is 646-649-1013. You've got less than 90 seconds to call in if you want to continue to listen. If you're listening to us in archive, continue. But before we get rolling again, that was a great rant text. But the important thing is that in order to convince people, in order to get the information out there, you've got to share with them something other than the regular party line duopoly dribble that they've been getting. Maybe it's this show, maybe it's Josh Chawley, maybe it's something else, but whatever. Get the information to them. And our show is very easy to get out to people. All you got to do is free, right? We pay for this. You don't have to pay for it. just go right below the show graphics, click the download show link, right-click on it, you'll get an MP3. You can play it in your MP3 device. You can send it to someone in email. You can burn a CD and give it out at tea parties or wherever, you know, you might go, NRA meetings, gun shows, whatever. But just get conservatives and Republicans to start thinking a little bit differently than to just do whatever the damn party tells them to do. Because the Republican Party has no love for you. But if you want a real conservative Republican Party, then you've got to take control of the reins and support candidates who are actually conservative and get involved and get conservatism back on the books. I won't support a single Republican because they're a Republican. And I won't vote against the Democrat because they're a Democrat. I will vote against socialism, communism, collectivism, and I will vote for conservative candidates wherever I find them, whoever is the best one. That's the important thing. It's about preserving the liberal principles in the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution, which we're celebrating the signing of the Declaration of Independence this Thursday. All right, Tex, back to you.
Okay, back to me. So
yeah.
I don't know.
You're ranting about Romney and Roe. Continue. I loved it.
Yeah. Yes, exactly. Well, we were ranting about that, and then you're trying to be rational and everything, and we need to have positive thoughts. And what? And I don't know. I'm not a positive thought. I mean, realistically, like the direction the party is going in right now is so wrong that I don't know that it's fixable. And when I hear that Mark Levin is thinking about getting together and forming something called the Freedom Party, I think that's interesting. I mean, right now, here you go. I'm signing up for it. So I'm ready to go. I think Sarah Palin's talking about joining something like that as well. I think you need large constituencies of the Republican Party to jump away from the leadership. Because I think it's the leadership that's in the minority. They have the majority of the dollars, but the minority of the public sentiment. And I think you need to go recreate a party that that people actually believe in. So I'm interested in this concept. I want to see where it goes, because as far as I'm concerned, the Republican Party is a barn that the termites ate. You know, it's still standing, but, you know, if you lean against it, the entire thing would fall apart.
Termites.
And it fell apart
poop.
Under shit leadership named John Boehner and Mitch McConnell. And we had two candidates that I think would have done really well in the last election. I think we would have easily won. We would have coasted the victory without problem if we had had Newt Gingrich at the top of the ticket and if we had had Ron Paul as vice president. We would have won this thing easily and everybody would be happy. But now we're like, oh, my God, we've lost the country. Now we're a country of makers or takers versus makers and blah, blah, because of Mitt Romney's idiotic comment. This party, as it exists, the leadership of this party has learned nothing. I mean, Newt Gingrich actually said it best. I know a lot of Ron Paulers hate Newt Gingrich, but a lot of Newt Gingrich supporters hate Ron Paulers. But, you know, we have to understand where we are exactly and what we're talking about. But Gingrich is saying, look, after all these years since Goldwater, we have a Republican Party establishment that has learned nothing about how to win elections because they still think that the way to win elections is to be Democrat light. And you know what? I think Gingrich is being generous because I don't think they actually believe that. I think what they actually have done is they have been co-opted by the Democrat Party and they're on the other team. And their job is to make sure that the Republican Party is always in its place, subservient to the Democrat Party. And I'll go you one better. That goes all the way back to Reconstruction.
Destruction.
Exactly.
The destruction of
because
the South.
The Republican Party back then was a party that did Reconstruction. And the Democrat Party was the party of the South, and it basically went in, it infiltrated the Republican Party, and basically its goal was to neuter the Republican Party. And to this day, the Republican Party continues with leadership that is completely neutered and does nothing. But kowtows to the Democrat Party, which is the party of segregation. Now, those conflicts are old, but I think the basic paradigm of who's in control and who's not in control continues. I think the Republican Party is a vestigial party, political party in the United States, and has been for years. And I don't think there's any hope for it to exist in the future.
Well, I mean, who cares? The fact is that maybe there isn't, maybe there is. I could care less. But what I do care about is what's going on right now. And what's going on right now is that we live in a country dominated by a duopoly, which means at the federal level, you're not going to get anything that isn't a Republican or a Democrat, at least for the next few election cycles. Now, whether there's going to be a Freedom Party or the Constitution Party or the Libertarian Party can get their act together, run some national candidates, or change the ballot rules, I don't know. I'm hoping we move in that direction and have a multiplicity of parties. But until then, and here's a serious problem that we have in this country. There are people who are asleep who just vote for the team, and then there are people who have principles, which is a good thing. But sometimes they are so pure and zealous about their principles that they can't connect those principles pragmatically with the real world. Now, you never compromise your principles because then you stand for nothing. But sometimes you're going to have to bend around the edges in order to actually get things done. We are behind enemy lines. As we celebrate the 237th anniversary of the signing of the Declaration of Independence, you have to keep in mind for the last 100 years they've been dismantling this country piece by piece, and we are so far down that road to serfdom that you are not going to run on pure constitutional principles and actually get them done. There's going to have to be some incremental push. Now, I'm not saying take it slow. I'm not saying bend on your principles, but be practical. The practical fact is, as much as I hate the Republican Party, and I've never been a member, and I hope to never have to be a member, you have to support real conservative Republicans on the federal level, because you are not going to get a CP or LP candidate on the national level. It's not going to happen. There's not going to be an LP or CP or independent president, vice president, speaker of the House, or leader of the Senate. It's not going to happen. So find the real conservatives. Could you imagine Senator from Texas Ted Cruz as, you know, majority leader in the Senate, or Justin Amash or Trey Gowdy as speaker of the House, or Rand Paul as president? Could you imagine that? That's possible. That can happen if you get on Chris's group, Coalition of Freedom, and do what it says, which is build coalitions where you don't agree with everybody on everything, and you don't have to. I could give a crap if we want to have kids smoking pot legally or illegally in their mother's basement. I could give a crap if guys get turned on by looking at other guys' hairy
ass. Hey, I just got back from Seattle. Let me tell you, I'm walking down the street, everybody's smoking pot in the open in Seattle. You walk down the street, it's like, oh, God, did I just smell that?
That's wonderful. That's a great plan for the future of the country. But what I'm saying is that those are tertiary issues, given the fact that we are about to launch into World War III against Russia and China through Syria and Iran. We have an unsurmountable debt, over $150 trillion. The stock market is about to come crashing down around your ears. The dollar is about to get eviscerated. And these guys are worried about, you know, we have to legalize the 20 to 40 million illegal aliens that are here and reward their bad behavior for breaking the laws getting into this country without coming in through the front door. You know, that's what they're concerned about. And we've got to implement this horrible, disastrous health care plan that's going to cause everybody's premiums to go up 400%. There are serious problems that need to be addressed, and if they're not addressed soon, all these other tertiary issues that you're focusing on, where you have differences between conservatives, libertarians, libertarians, Republicans, or whatever, anybody on the side that isn't Democrat, okay, you're not going to have a country whereby these things are even going to be important, because you're going to be looking for food and trying to dodge DHS bullets. That's what's going to happen. So get together, form coalitions with people on very basic principles, the Constitution, every time, on every issue. A strong naval military power that isn't deployed all over the world, just so that we can be protected. And guess what? You still have to have a nuclear deterrent. So as your community organizer president is giving $7 billion, whatever the hell it is, to put power in Africa while Appalachia and California are rolling through brownouts for the most part, you know, he's doing some crazy stuff, and you're sitting back worried about, you know, whether gay people can have sex and whether people should be smoking pot or not. These are stupid things to focus on for now. Focus on the big thing.
You
want a strong military presence. You don't want to reduce our nuclear arsenal when the world is nuclearly armed. because that's only the turn you got. I don't like nuclear weapons. Nobody does, but they're a fact. Deal with it. Okay? So the Constitution, every issue, a strong military that isn't screwing around in everybody's country but is ready to kick ass if necessary. Okay?
Yeah,
getting
sure
rid of the Federal Reserve,
doesn't
the IRS,
Al-Qaeda.
The 17th Amendment, roll it all back. That's what we got to do. Those are the things that we agree on. Those are the things we need to fight on. And guess what? You've got people up there who are doing it. Look at people in your state houses, too, because nullification is going to be a huge issue, and a war is coming between the federal government and the states. So focus on that kind of stuff and quit nitpicking around the edges and the tertiary issues that aren't going to matter much. Guys, we're going to have to start wrapping this up.
War.
Yeah, and I don't think we're going to have enough time to get to McWar, so maybe we'll discuss Syria in our next – we've talked about it a million times. I'm sick of talking about it, but it is always an issue. But
huge.
Why don't we start – why don't we start, folks, we covered Snowden, and that's still going to be an issue. And don't forget, that's not the only scandal. They're all valid, especially the IRS scandal and Benghazi, which is related to Syria. We covered amnesthesia. They did this in 86. They told us that they would legalize 1.2 million illegal aliens, and that would solve the problem, and they'd secure the border. They ended up legalizing something like 2.7 million illegal aliens, and by doing that, they sent a signal to all the other illegal aliens who said, hey, look at this. If we break into the United States and we work there illegally, at some point in the future there will be so many of us that they'll just give us amnesty. And now they're telling you that it's 11 million, and that number is more like 20 to 40 million. Okay, and the fact is Newt Gingrich talked about this. There are the people who are already here who have been here for a long time. You're going to have to figure out a way to give them some legal status. That doesn't mean citizenship. Okay, but nothing can be addressed with this issue until that border is secure. Rand Paul put an amendment through that would have done that, and the Republicans in the Senate killed it. That's how bad this is. We've got amnesthesia. We're doing what we did in 86 on a much grander scale, and mm-hmm. don't think for a second that this immigration bill in any way, shape, or form, okay, it gives you a pardon for identity theft, for misusing Social Security numbers. It gives you a car. It puts a $5,000 penalty on employers for hiring Americans. And it puts them into the Obamacare system. Okay? But it's not about downtrodden people from south of our border coming here because they're looking for work. Because guess what? One out of four Americans doesn't have a job, which means we don't have jobs. They're coming here for freebies that they don't have in their country. And if they are that hardworking and that responsible, why don't they fix their country instead of coming here to rape ours? But that's not the problem. The problem is you've got disease. Hep C is on the rise. Leishmaniasis, a Middle Eastern disease, is now in our country. You've got strange insects coming across our border. It's an ecological disaster because of the lax border. And don't think for a friggin' second that you don't have Muslim jihadi terrorists crossing that border and the drug cartels and the child molesters and the rapists and the pimps and the gangs. That's coming across this border. So it's not just, you know, Jose looking to mow your lawn. That's not what this is about. If that was all that it was about, we could probably solve it pretty easily. But a country with no secure border is a country that is inviting all sorts of trouble. No other country does this. And in the meantime, you're sending your young men and women overseas to secure the borders between Muslim jihadi states that are trying to kill each other. How about we secure our border first? That's what Rand Paul has called for. That's what they promised us in 86. That's what Marco Rubio promised you in 2010 and telling you that he's going to deliver now, when in fact this bill does no such thing. And it gives most of the discretionary authority to Janet Napolitano. And that bitch ain't going to secure your border. She'll clamp down on your ass if you've got a Ron Paul sticker on your car or a Gadsden flag, okay? But she's not going to do anything about that southern border. So don't buy it for a second. Call your House representatives. Go visit them. Write them a letter. Get other people to get on top of them, too, and tell them you don't want this thing. And tell them you're going to remember in November 2014. All right, guys, why don't we start kind of wrapping it up? We'll go to Chris first, and then we'll go to Tex.
You know, I think it's all valid points, and we just, as usual, we barely skirt the surface of them. You know, we've got all these scandals, the IRS thing. I mean, they just keep unfolding and unfolding and unfolding and unfolding more and more things. All these things tie together because it basically what it says is you have an out-of-control government that you cannot trust, that is oppressing you so they can go do whatever their corporatist deal is, or backing Al-Qaeda in Syria, you know, terrorists, organ-eating terrorists, because they want more war, because they want to hand the land, you know, to Saudi, because they're pissed that their caliphate was kicked out when the Ottomans came in, or whatever. You know, it never ends. Nobody is taking care of you. That's the bottom line. We got more people on welfare, more people on food stamps. You know, we got these students with all their loans issues, not getting educations that can sell, while they're opening our borders and opening our immigration work visa system. That's going to have a flood of people come, not just across the border, you know, poor people who don't have educations, but a flood of highly educated people in the tech industry. This bill is backed by everybody, every corporation that will gain at your expense, and then you're going to pay for all the social programs that come along with it. Nobody is taking care of you. This is the thing that people need to wake up to. You know, you can get lost in all these different, you know, there's just so many things going on right now. I typically am only focused on a handful of them that I know are extremely important. You know, on the group, you know, we've got threads going on all of them, because people get caught up in different concepts, but they really tie together. Our national our foreign policy sucks. Our economic system and banking system is criminal, and it sucks, and it's broke, and these guys are going to get us into a freaking world war because they don't know what else to do. They won't fix anything. The Republicans, most of the leadership in the Republican Party in the House and Senate are slime balls. You've got a handful of people who are really standing up and making a name for themselves, who really are basically what we voted in Ought 10 and sent to Washington to do their job. They're not that incredible. They're just doing their damn job. We just need more of them, you know, and that's the key. So don't get overwhelmed. Focus. Learn to tie things together, you know, put it up on a wall and put pins in it and tie strings to it, and it doesn't get so damn confusing. You know, they're selling our country down the drain. I mean, I got this whole thread, you know, on this whole Syria thing, because it's fascinating to me, because it's a and we didn't get into it, but it's basically a microcosm of everything that's wrong with our country. You know, from the leadership to our foreign policy, to our military policy, to our economics, to our overreach in the world, to a lack of concern of who our partners are in the world, while we're stepping on citizens, while our borders are wide open, and bad people are invading our country, bad people are already here. You know, we can't, you know, the Snowden thing, you know, the NSA, you know, they're tapping billions of bits of information, you know, a day, and they can't even catch the bad guys, but they're busy looking at your underwear size, you know. And, I mean, it's out of control. And to me, I look at it like, good, now maybe people finally wake the hell up. You know, I've been watching this coming for 30 years, you know, since I was a conscious adult. You know, the first 10 years as an adult, I was a knucklehead. But, you know, by the time I was 30, I was looking seriously at the world around me going, what the frick is coming, you know, this way? And so it's been coming for a long time. So it's not that big of – I mean, it is a big deal. But what I'm saying is it's not that big of a deal. It can be turned around. 2014 is going to be key. It really is, because 2014 is a chance – for the Tea Party movement, who's had the shit kicked out of it, like Sarah Palin, and is coming back mature, pissed off, you know, seasoned, because, you know, a lot of the problem, I think, and I was going to say this earlier, you guys want to roll, I didn't want to interrupt, but part of the problem with the Tea Party movement, Ought 10, and its success, is everybody dropped the damn guard, including the people who went to Congress, you know, with the smoke of battle coming off their bodies, going, yeah, we're the man, I'm the man, I'm the woman, we're going to get shit done. And then the Republicans put their boot on their neck. And so there was another lesson to learn there. They thought they were going to be, you know, saluted and brought into the party and, hey, we're all going to win together. And they found out the leadership Republicans were just as corrupt and subversives as the Democrats. And so there was a maturing process they had to go through. And a lot of times maturing comes from pain. And so I think that, you know, where we're at now is, especially with all these scandals, is that it's so shocking. If you can get past the awe or the emotional content of it and look at us as a strategy, we're winning the war because everything's unraveling. Good. Because sometimes it's got to go to hell in a handbasket before people get off their ass, shut off the TV, quit hanging around with their friends, telling them the same bullshit over beer and barbecue, and wake up and go, wow, maybe I, as a citizen of this country, not a subject, need to get involved and get educated on this shit and become part of the solution instead of part of the problem. You know, and it's what I said earlier. 72 million people signed a petition to have the elections early because they don't want the Muslim Brotherhood and Sharia law in Egypt. 72 million people. And what the hell? You know, Ted Cruz says, well, we had 100,000 people sign my petition. I'm thinking that should have been 10 million people by now. Americans are scared. They're beat up. They're tired. They're confused. And they need to focus and start acting like winners again, because that's what this country was founded on.
Amen. You know? Sack up, people.
It's very important. I'm done.
Yeah. All right, man. That was great. Thanks, Chris. And you can check out Chris's group on Facebook, Coalition of Freedom. Heavy discussion, not just posting crap all over the place. It's organized. It's focused. It's about learning things and getting things done. So go there, Coalition of Freedom on Facebook. Now we'll move over to my illustrious co-host, Tex, for his final thoughts.
Well, Chris mentioned a lot of things that are worth kind of following up on, particularly when we're talking about the Tea Party movement getting co-opted and it's been denigrated, and now in the press, including on Fox News, the Tea Party is portrayed as this, oh, it's this movement that's petered out and nobody cares about the Tea Party anymore. The Tea Party is the Republican Party. It's what the Republican Party used to be. It's the Reagan part of the Republican Party. And so if the Republican Party as it exists today, the faux Republican Party, the Republican Party in quotes, and Fox News, the quote conservative news agency, wants to denigrate it, they do so at their peril. Because you know what? What the Tea Party stood for was limited government, reducing the cost of government, balancing the budget. The things that Reagan talked about but was unable to do, and that Gingrich talked about and did, enforced on Bill Clinton. And now you have Republican organizations that exist today that want to denigrate that and say, oh, this will never work. The country has changed. The country hasn't changed. The leadership has changed. The leadership has completely abandoned you. This isn't leadership. You remember when they used to tell Bush, like, hey, if you're leading and no one's behind you, actually Biden said this, idiot who's currently the vice president of the United States, if you're leading and no one's following, that's not leadership, right? Well, guess what, Republican Party? If you're leading and no one's following, that's not leadership. The Republican Party today has zero constituency. It is an illegitimate organization with no followers whatsoever. It is a leadership without a base. They don't need to exist anymore. They're done. And I think they're starting to realize that because they shit on their base and their base has left them. And now they're like, oh, yeah, but we're just like the Democrats. But you know what? Democrats aren't like, oh, great, finally. I can vote for a Republican. I've wanted to vote for a Republican for years, but there's never been like a really good one. Now there's a Republican who believes everything that I believe, and they're Republican. I can't wait to vote for this organization. This is the Karl Rove philosophy. This is organizational failure, and this is why the Republican Party is done. It is history. It's over. It's fucking gone, you know? I don't know what how much clearer you can make it. Now, maybe some people, they can come and they can revive this thing somehow. But I don't know. At this point, it's like surgery on dead people, you know. Even if you screw it up completely, maybe you'll get a pulse. I don't know, you know. But the Republican Party, as far as I'm concerned, is dead. And if the Republican Party is dead, there is no opposition. There's only co-opted opposition, which is what the current Republican Party is.
And so either you need to build something else, so a hat tip, you know, Mark Levin, Sarah Palin, for trying to build something else. I'm definitely interested, showing some ankle in that conflict. I want to see what's going on there. Maybe you'll have a mass exodus of people joining this party. But the current organization, it's got to go. And you know what? All these people in the House who claim to be conservatives, I don't believe a damn one of you. Because you all voted for fucking John Boehner, Speaker of the House, because you're too damn scared of him. You had 12. You needed, what was it, 18? You need 18. There's not six of you who are worth a shit going to vote against this guy? When the country, if you really believe that the country is hanging in the balance, there's not six of you who care? There weren't.
No.
So that's what I'm saying. This is an organization that's done. It's gone. It's run its course. Everybody is there. They're sitting at the table, and they're there to get theirs. And so if you're putting your faith in this organization, I don't know. I mean, I think it's done. I got to see some real leadership. I got to see some real people in this party putting the thing forward. You know, I'm seeing this actually, you know, I'll put something positive out there because I've been kind of negative this evening. I don't think I've been negative. I think I've been illuminating. But
in a dark way.
Yeah, in a dark way, well, whatever. I mean, it's always darkest before the dawn, right? I mean, you can't have people running around with delusions. Oh, it'll get better. I'll just sit around and I'll hope it gets better, and then everything will be okay. No, it won't, idiot. You know?
Hey, if the situation sucks and
you
shed light on it,
problem first.
Yeah, if the situation sucks and you shed light on it, the light's going to suck. It's going to be a sucky situation.
Yeah, exactly.
You're just telling the truth.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, I think that what Ted Cruz has been talking about is good. I think where Rand Paul has been going is good. I think we've got a lot of people in the House of Representatives who have been good. Gohmert, you know, Amash, other people, Hochul Scamp, and, you know, that we've talked about and tried to bring out. I think this is the leadership, the direction that we need to go. The problem is these people are marginalized in the current Democrat-Republican Party that we have, because the Democrat Party will never let those types of Republicans reach the leadership positions of the Republican Party, because they're afraid of that. And so, therefore, they keep Democrats in control, or Democrat lights in control of the Republican Party, in order to prevent actual Republicans, libertarians, conservatives from rising to the real reins of power in the Republican Party, because what we're voting for is a token opposition. And that's the reality.
You say token? Token like in Seattle token? Or token like in New York subway token?
Well, I would say like a New York subway token.
Gotcha.
Opposition. It's not real. It's fake. It's all counterfeit. There isn't an opposition to this. It's been co-opted. And that's the thing. And you're not supposed to figure it out, and people aren't supposed to freaking know. But this is why, well, I'm going to vote for the Republicans, and they're going to fix everything. Oh, shit, I voted for the Republicans, but they completely compromised on everything that I actually believed in. And they sold me down the river. But, well, it was better than taking it straight up the pooper from the Democrats. Instead, I got like a side thrusting in the mouth from the Republican Party, and I feel better about that. So why would you care? Then that result is the freaking same. These organizations don't reflect your beliefs. They don't care about what you believe in, and they're fucking you over left and right. So I'm done with them. That's what I'm saying. I'm done. I've been done with them for months.
And on that,
so
are you done?
I don't know. How do you fix it? How do you fix it from here? I don't know how you fix it, but the first part is realizing that these organizations don't reflect your values, and most likely they will never reflect your values. These are the wrong vehicles to ride to success. It's like you're in a horse race and you have this broke-down horse that has three, you know, bad legs. You're just beating the shit out of it to try to get it over the finish line. Well, no matter how hard you beat the shit out of this horse, it can't. It's got three bum legs. It's done. So you got to find another horse. Like, oh, but this horse doesn't have a jockey. I don't know who your jockey is going to be. I don't know how you're going to find him. But you have to realize this isn't the vehicle to do it. And you know what? As a result, you may lose the next race. You won't come in second place. But who gives a shit about second? You have single member simple plurality. Second place has to do shit for you in America anyway.
No, if this party keeps doing what it's doing, it won't be in second place. But, hey, all I can say is...
Oh, nice shooting, Tex!
While I agree with your sentiments about the Republican Party, because I friggin' hate the Republican Party, it is just an organization. It is an organization that has been appropriated, as you said, by... guys like Rove who just want to get paid, and they don't care if there's a victory or a loss as long as the money rolls in. Is the Freedom Party going to be, you know, the Levin Palin answer to the future? Maybe. We'll see where it goes. But the reality of the situation is at this moment and leading up to 2014, on the federal level, you got a duopoly. It's either Democrats or Republicans. I strongly suggest you don't support the Democrats. I strongly suggest you only support conservative Republicans, but they would have to probably be Republicans. At your state level, things are a little bit different, and that's where your ballot rules are going to be able to be changed if you work hard at it to open it up so that we get competition. We seem to like competition and choice in our burgers, our fries, our detergent, but we don't want competition and variety in our electoral process. That's just nuts, okay? So let's open that up. In the meantime, support the candidates. Do not support this Whig party, okay? Don't give this Whig party any money. Give it directly to the candidates who are actually standing up, people like Rand Paul, Ted Cruz, Justin Amash. These are the people that you want to support. These are the people who will actually get things done. So, you know, tonight we were trying to cover a lot of stuff. we covered a little bit about Snowden and the spying and the NSA and all that police state stuff. We talked a little bit about anesthesia, which is a redux of the 1986 amnesty debacle, which screwed things up royally, brought us to this point, and now they're about to do it on a massive scale. So the most important thing to do this week, in addition to celebrating the 237th anniversary of our independence from Great Britain, is to visit, write, call, email, and Twitter is very good for this. Twitter is very powerful, even though it's, you know, short tweets and stuff, is because it's public. So when this when the tweets arrive at the handle of the congressman, everybody sees it. So you can really put pressure on them using Twitter as well. Get information out to them that you don't want this amnesty bill. You want the border secured first. Then we can talk about how to have more legal immigration and how to have better control of our borders. And watch out for how they sneak things in. You know, they get you all hopped up against immigration, illegal immigration, and then they foist something on you like E-Verify, and they tell you that that's to make sure that employers don't hire illegal aliens. Then they'll turn around and tell you, well, the only way that'll work is if every person who's employed in this country is part of the E-Verify system. Bam, you got a national ID card, the government has more power. So you got to watch them for sneaking these things through. Securing the border does not mean having to do all this other crap. And in fact, it only needs one bill that's one page, right? This is a country that built the Panama Canal. We can't build a friggin' fence? I mean, give me a break, right? The border can be secured. They just don't want to do it.
Man,
they want it open.
A canal, Panama.
There you go. So they want it open. So you know, tell them that you want the border secured. Then we'll figure out through other deliberative bodies how to deal with the aliens that are here, legal and illegal, and immigration, legal and illegal, and everything else that's going on. We'll deal with that. But the first thing you got to do is shut down the border. Otherwise, it's pointless to talk about anything. At the beginning of this show, we were also trying to get to McWar and talk about Syria, but I suspect escalation in that conflict will be happening for some time, so I'm sure we'll do future shows about it. It's your blood and treasure that's being spent over there. It is your proxy war against Russia and China, and it is designed to defeat this country. They are bringing us down through this conflict, so it's important. We've done a few shows on it. Check them out in archive. They're on our page. And you can check out our group, the Tex and Rex Show on Facebook. But at the beginning, I asked if we are truly free, you know, given all the stuff that's going on. And the answer is, without a doubt, yes. But perhaps
shit,
not in the
no.
sense.
No. Oh, sorry.
But perhaps not in the sense that our founding fathers risked their lives, their property, and their sacred honor 237 years ago this week. You really need to think about it.
Perhaps
I'm going to get a little.
Speaking for the founding fathers on their behalf. That's the
thanks,
answer they would have given, but whatever.
Yeah. So the fact is that we've been a little hot, we've been a little colorful, been a little, you know, radioactive, but I'm going to bring it down a little bit. And I think this is important, and this is from St. Paul's epistle to the Galatians, which I was one of the readings at Mass today, and this is really powerful, even if you're not a Christian.
The Galatians,
think of
the
it
people
as
who
kind
said
of
shit, no?
Poetic literature, okay, if you think about it in that regard. So this is from the epistle to the Galatians. For freedom, Christ set us free. So stand firm and do not submit again to the yoke of slavery. For you were called for freedom, but do not use this freedom as an opportunity for the flesh. Rather, serve one another through love. For the whole law is fulfilled in one statement, namely, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you go on biting and devouring one another, beware that you are not consumed by one another. I say then, live by the Spirit, and you will certainly not gratify the desire of the flesh. For the flesh has desires against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. These are opposed to each other, so that you may not do what you want. But if you are guided by the Spirit, you are not under the law. And I think that's very powerful, because if we're talking about whether it's the Spirit of God or the Spirit of liberty, we're talking about living our lives as we ought in true fulfillment and flourishing, which right now, and under the law of this land, not the constitutional law, but the statutory law from this federal Leviathan, we're not free. But if we live free and we work free and we toil free to restore the republic, we can be free. But that's going to require working hard, knowing why you're working, having the true philosophical foundation of what liberty means, and understanding the processes that the Founding Fathers gave us to effect this governance under liberty, not under tyranny. And it's very important that you work hard at it. Now, will we win? Will the results work? Are we going to devolve into a police state? Is World War III going to start tomorrow? Are the voting machines rigged? Is it overwhelming? Is the duopoly going to crush you? You know, that's all a bunch of crap to worry about, you know, and that does nothing. So the important thing is that you are to live your life in liberty. Fight for freedom. Fight for what matters. Do the work. Whether you win or lose is not so much the point as whether you try, because if you don't try, you're only guaranteed one thing, a loss and tyranny. If you want liberty and you truly want to be free, then fight for it. Work your ass off for it. It is the most important thing to do if you really love your country and your fellow citizens, irrespective of the results. That's the important thing. And I don't care if it's the Republican Party, the Freedom Party, no party, whatever it is. We've got to put the federal government back in its constitutional box. And the only way you can do that is by getting other people involved. Now, we're celebrating Independence Day this Thursday. And that is, you know, a huge and wonderful thing, with the signing of the Declaration of Independence. So, you know, I wish everybody a happy Independence Day. And don't run around telling everybody happy July 4th. That's just a date. It's Independence Day. That's the holiday we're celebrating. The signing of a treasonous document against the British Crown, a secession of the colonies from Parliament and the King, saying we will live free. A treasonous act, punishable by penalty of death for wealthy land-owning men who risked their lives, their sacred honor, and all their property to be free and to deliver freedom to us, and we have no right to throw it away, but we have to fight for it. The other thing that's going on, which some of you up north may not be aware of, is tomorrow is the anniversary of the Battle of Gettysburg. And that was a very, very decisive battle because, first of all, the Southern Army under General Robert E. Lee wasn't supposed to have survived this long. It was supposed to be wrapped up at First Manassas, but on they fought gallantly. Chivalrous men of the South fighting for the right of their states to be free from federal Leviathan. And this was a turning point because really this was the battle that kind of tipped things in the favor of the North, and eventually the South was defeated. But that doesn't take anything away from the gallantry of those men who were Americans, fought in an American war, fought under an American flag, and fought under a great general, General Robert E. Lee of Virginia. And I'll leave you with a couple of closing thoughts on what General Lee said. He said, I think it better to do right, even if we suffer in so doing, than to incur the reproach of our consciences and posterity. So it doesn't matter if we win or lose, if this country falls apart, if this becomes a police state, if World War III wipes out half the planet tomorrow. What matters is, did you sit back quietly and allow it to happen? Did you participate in it? or did you stand firmly against it and say, no, we will live free? And I'll leave you with this final thought from General Lee. We must expect reverses, even defeats. They are sent to teach us wisdom and prudence, to call forth greater energies, and to prevent our falling into greater disasters. This is the moment. The time is now. This is what will decide if the future is going to be the greatness of the American Republic, where America shines brighter than she's ever shined before because of the trials we've been through over the last 100 years, from the progressives, the corporatists, the Federal Reserve, the income tax, the 17th Amendment, Obama, all this stuff. Or this is the moment where they say, huh, the Americans just whimpered, they faded away, and the Russian and the Chinese arose and became the dominant hegemonic force on the planet and didn't do as good a job as the Americans could have. Maybe. I don't know what the future holds, but I know that the principles that this nation was founded on are true always and everywhere. And you have not only the right and the responsibility, but you have a duty to yourself, your family, and all people to stand up for those very things where we say we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, property, and the pursuit of happiness. So with all the tough work ahead, don't despair. This is an exciting moment to be an American, because we can turn it around and we can make freedom the call for the world again. We'll see you next week. Happy Independence Day. This is Tex and Rex signing off.
The flames of liberty will never die.
Good night, all.